Blog Talk Radio. I'm a beat that. Thank you. bitch.
Queen Beats Productions.
Hey. I'ma beat me, you gon' beat you. I'ma beat me, you gon' beat you. I'm gon' beat me, you gon' beat you. Bitch, who are you? I'ma beat me, you gon' beat you. I'ma beat me, you gon' beat you. I'ma beat me, you gon' beat you. Bitch, who are you?
Again, that's 443-220-3483. history.
Hot like fire, burning like an incinerator. This is the Inferno.
Mother, Isis, Iskara, Malcolm, Balenciaga, and Father, Larry Mizrahi, bring to you the most anticipated event in the OKI region. The Inferno Ball Part 4, Zodiac, on Saturday, June 9th, 2012, at the American Legion, 2107 Crumbs Lane, Louisville, Kentucky. $25 all night. Commentator, Icon Jack McBride, with the DJ, legendary Bonalore. Grand prize, open to all runways, $1,000.
Plus $20 high, stars,
plus statements, plus bring to life one of the Zodiac signs. Three trophies, one cash prize. Mini grand number one, with Queen Sex Baron. $500. Junior versus Senior versus Catboy. Three trophies, one pass. Mini grand number two, female figure performance for $500. Open to all foot and eye with secret weapons. $250. Two trophies, one pass. Foot Queen, Bold Sam. Soft versus Dramatic. $200 plus $10 fine. Reddit with a twist. $150. Post Hotel for the evening, the Holiday Inn, Southwest. 502-448-2020 and ask for the Inferno rate for $79.
Inferno.
This is an early ball, so be on time, because it will end on time. Don't forget the Inferno Aftermath on Sunday, June 10th, 2012.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the State of Emergency Show, episode 13, where tonight we will be talking about sex, drugs, and violence. Hello, chat room. Everyone that's in the chat room, please say hi back and let me know that you can hear me correctly. And to everyone that is on the phone lines, please press 1 if you want to tune into tonight's topic, as well as if you are part of the panelists and I haven't talked to you yet, please press 1 so I can see you in queue. I do have most of the people that I spoke to. And I'm waiting for one other person. Chat room, can y'all hear me? Or can somebody let me know that chat can hear me? Yeah, okay. Thanks, Chan. All right. I'm sorry, guys, as always, but this is the time I get myself together for the show. Tonight, we'll be talking about sex, drugs, and violence. And the reason why we are going to be talking about that is because of all the bullshit that I constantly am seeing in these videos and what I'm hearing all over Facebook, as well as people contacting me, other show, the show recaps and things of that sort. I have a lot of people that are on the line right now pressing one before we even started, so I will be getting to you guys shortly. Some of the things that I want to bring up are some of the things that I did see that took place this weekend. Sex. We're going to talk about the sex. There was a lot of drama in North Carolina with sex parties and things of that sort, as well as drugs and people posting pictures of cocaine and things of that nature all over Facebook. Of course, the violence and something that I feel is continuously getting worse and worse. Gunshots in a parking lot after a ball ends. I mean, it was completely ridiculous. Just so much going on. Excuse me. And I want to really talk about it because I feel that it is a major, major issue. We've had our talks about sex and, you know, STDs and, you know, safe sex and things of that sort. The drugs I mean, it's really, really getting out of hand. The violence seems like it's just continuously getting worse. A lot of people sent me messages over asking me, do I agree with the fact that a video was posted of people shooting in a parking lot after a ball ends? Because now it'll give people the idea that it is okay to bring a gun to a ball. Then they'll feel that they're not going to be shooting in the air. Next time they'll be shooting at an individual. It's really getting out of hand. And I need people to really listen to that. It is. It's getting out of hand. The drugs, the sex, the violence. Is this the three main factors that are destroying our community, that are destroying our team? And what do you guys feel about that? So please press 1 to tune into tonight's topic. I'm going to bring on our panelists. Individually, as always, you guys know how it works. I go down the line individually based on them calling in and give them a chance to rebuttal, talk, answer any questions, give any opinions, and things of that sort based on tonight's topic. So if you guys are on the phone line and you did agree to be on the panel tonight, I'm going to be bringing you guys on. If I'm missing someone, please make sure you hit me up on Facebook if I haven't talked to you in the last 30 minutes or an hour or so. But the first person I'm going to bring on is all the way from the West Coast, Chance Chanel. You're on the air.
Hi, Jasmine. How are you?
Fine. How you doing?
I'm good.
Did you get a chance to see the videos and things of that sort from the North Carolina Awards Ball?
I did.
Okay. Well, that's what we'll be talking about tonight. Let's go to our next panelist. We have a very familiar face on here. Vonna, you're on the air.
Hey, Jasmine.
How are you?
I'm good. How's your week, man?
It's been going. I look forward to the weekend. You know, I didn't even realize Mother's Day was this weekend.
I just realized it today.
Yeah, I lost my mom years ago, so I kind of, like, block it out a little bit.
Yeah.
And my mother's birthday falls actually on Mother's Day, so kind of ironic,
That's going to be rough a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to see the videos this weekend? It's from,
wow.
From
yeah, I did.
Okay.
A lot of pictures in the videos.
Yeah, the pictures were key. The videos, definitely. We're also going to bring on a panelist all the way from South Florida, in Miami area. Trigger Ebony, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
I'm fine, just leaving the gym, so a little tired, but I'm relaxed now.
Well, thank you for tuning in with us, Trigger. Did you get a chance to watch the videos from this weekend?
Several times.
Well, thank you, Trigger, for sitting in with us. And then I love when I get new faces on here and stuff and, you know, different style from a different, you know, area of ballroom. Marquise Prodigy, you're on the air.
Hey, Jasmine, how you doing?
Hi, Marquise.
How are you?
I'm fine. Did you go to North Carolina this weekend?
No, I actually wasn't in North Carolina this weekend.
Okay. Did you get a chance to watch the videos?
Yes, I did see the videos.
Okay. And another person we have on here for the first time, I think, that sat with us during the State of Emergency show is from Detroit, if I'm not mistaken, Mook Chanel. Yeah. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Jasmine?
Hi, Mook. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. What's up, Vonna? What's up, Chance?
What's going on?
Not much. What's up, Trigger?
Hey, what's going on?
So, Mook, did you go to the ball this weekend?
No, I didn't go. I missed it, but I heard all about it.
Okay. Did you get a chance to watch the videos?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Well, thank you for tuning in with us, Mook, tonight as well. And also, if anyone else was supposed to be on the show, I'm sorry, I'm like all over the place. Please send me a message on Facebook, and I will bring you on. What are you telling me? Hold on. Here we go. I will be able to give you a recap shortly. Okay, thank you, TJ. We look forward to you calling in. I'm just going to bring somebody on the line really quickly because it seems like they were on the air holding for a while. I'm not sure if they pressed 1 to tune in for tonight's topic or they pressed 1 by accident. 202-604, you're on the air.
They were officially programmed. I have spoken to him.
202-604.
Honestly, I don't even know where we...
Okay, okay, well, tonight I want to talk about all this stuff that, you know, especially what has happened and what we've witnessed over the weekend. And I don't want it to be based on just this weekend alone because it's something that's constantly happening. We see it across our country, and it was just a reminder to us this weekend. One of the things that I do want to talk about are, and we can start right off with the bang, the violence. As we're sitting here, and for the chat room or anyone else that's listening to the show, if you have no idea what we're talking about, which I'm sure you already do, Ballroom Throwback did record videos. He always records videos of the aftermath, right after the ball, recaps and things of that sort, the ball itself. And he happened to be showing a video of him interviewing the icon, Andre Mizrahi, and as they were recapping the event, there happened to be a parking lot brawl during the video, right in the background. As Andre just happened to be saying, you know, that this, you know, we need to start respecting, you know, things of that sort. And as soon as he said that, and he says, you know, look, they're fighting right now. Like, it's just an ongoing situation. But the difference between this fight and the others is you see someone raise a gun in the air and start shooting, like, 3 or 4 times. At first, they tried to cover it up and say it was a BB gun. But once we see the video, there was no ifs, ands, buts about it. It was not a BB gun. It was an actual gun. Now, last year in North Carolina, of course, not touching up on anything negative, there was issues with a major fight, hotel, fire, things of that sort. This year, it's the gun shooting in the air, things of that sort. The question is, what is next? And when is it going to stop? What are we going to do about it? Do we have any control on it? And how does it get to this point? The violence, the arguing, the bickering, the bullying, all the things that we see, you know, people coming up to the judges panel, cursing the panelists out, the panel acting sort of shady, throwing all this shade towards participants that are walking. It's so much drama, so much anger. You know, it's just so much that is happening right now. What do we do about it? And is there a way of fixing it? Any ideas? I'm going to start with you, Chance. What is your opinion on some of the things that you watched?
Well, I thought it was really sad. And it actually bothered me because, you know, I live in Los Angeles. And no doubt Los Angeles is a dangerous place, especially where I live. So not only do I have to worry about, you know, regular people in the street, now I have to worry about my own people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of sad that we can't stick together and, you know, be one without, you know, having to shoot at each other and fight.
I agree. Now I'm going to ask you Ivana a question. I'm going to ask you, do you feel, because right now we're living in a society where, and I think I lost you, she'll come back. I'll go down to Trigger. Trigger, right now we're living in a society where we have to question the laws that we go to. Because of all the violence and all the things that are taking place at a ball, people feel that they have to somehow protect themselves. If it's not with a taser, it's with a knife. If it's not with a knife, it's with a blade. Things of that sort. Do you feel that it's right or wrong to bring some sort of protection now to these events?
Well, from my point of view, if I have to bring protection to somewhere that I'm going, I'm going to not go because I'm not a violent person. And I don't like shooting guns. I've shot a gun before, but it was at a range. So if I feel like I have to, I'm not going to go. And I think it's wrong because all you're doing is you're adding
to
the problem.
Vonnie, you're back. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, no problem. My phone did die.
Go ahead, Trigger.
Because it's like when you bring more weapons to the function, you're looking for it to happen. You know, and who's to say your bullet won't shoot somebody who has nothing to do with it, or your knife is not going to stab somebody who has nothing to do with it? So why bring it? It's like leave yours home. You know, I just feel like you're adding more to the pot.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if I feel like I was in North Carolina last year, so when the fight broke out at the mini ball, I got caught in that process and my credit card got lost, and then I go back to the hotel where I'm staying at, and I have to sit outside for 4 or 5 hours, and we have to get back on the road in a couple of hours and drive 13 hours back to Miami. I don't want to do that. And if I feel like I don't want to waste my money to come to a function where I can end up in the hospital or dead, it's like it's not worth it. I'd rather miss the function and watch it on DVD than to put my life into danger. So I won't bring no weapon because I don't want to use it. People who bring weapons, it's easier for them to just go out and get it because they already foreseen that they're going to need it. If you don't bring it, you'll be okay. Just stay out of the way.
Okay. Marquise, younger generation, you know, you participate at a lot of balls. Over the years, you've seen things happen, come and go and stuff. How do you feel about some of the stuff you are witnessing today when it comes to the violence, to the weapons, and to, like, what you've seen this past weekend?
I feel like it's not cool at all. I feel like when you bring weapons, that's definitely not cool. But the violence part, like some of the people, you know, not trying to say violence is a good thing, but like, you know, when some people feel disrespected, they feel like that's the only way that they can, you know, handle a situation by letting someone else know that, you know, you're not going to disrespect me or you're not going to, you know, treat me like I'm less than a human being. So I can see why some people feel as though that they have to bring weapons with them because, you know, of stuff that, you know, they got lingering on and, you know, because a lot of the stuff be stuff that's lingering on and you come to the ball and meet up. So you already premeditated knowing that, you know, it might be a fight. So if you know it might be a fight, you're going to try to bring a weapon or something with you. So maybe people should just try to, I guess, calm down or, you know, in any arguments or anything before they get to events where there's going to be a lot of people and they feel as though they have to attack somebody because of what somebody said on Facebook or what somebody said over the phone or something like that. So I think if that stuff could stop there and end there, then a lot of the violence at the balls and after the balls wouldn't be happening.
Okay. Mook, what is some of your thoughts on all of this overall?
Well, I want to start by saying, what's up, Marquis? Sorry I missed you earlier. But, you know, with Jasmine, from where I'm from, you know, down here in Detroit, we had a time where, you know, a lot of things went digital the same way it did down there or whatever. And, you know what, it just, to me, it takes for people to change. And it kind of starts from the top. You know, all that stuff kind of escalates from the judges to everything in the field to where a person feel like, oh, this person going to try to maybe try me tonight or I'm going to feel this way or I don't like this person or I don't like this house. You know, I think personally that a lot of people need to make changes. You know what I'm saying? Instead of like just, it just be a lot of side eye type of stuff. And when stuff happens, you kind of look and be like, you know, well, golly, you know, I kind of understand where this person may be coming from, but I feel like it don't have to resort to, you know, the type of violence that it does, guns, knives, all of that. that's kind of too much to me. But I kind of just look at the whole thing, and I look at it, and when I come out to a bar, you know, I come to have a good time. So I don't really pay none of that to shade who vote for who do what. I don't really pay none of that no attention. I enjoy the bar, enjoy the people I see, people I miss that live in different states that I don't see as often, and, you know, it is what it is.
Okay. Ivana, some of your opinions on it?
Like Mocha said, we come from an era in Detroit where violence was a lot, you know, and it does, it comes from the top. It becomes crazy. I mean, I understand not wanting to be disrespected. I understand not wanting to, you know, feel that you're being tried, but it's a certain level of violence. You know, if you're going to fight, you're going to fight. I can't stop you from fighting, you're an adult. But, you know, all the gunplay and all of that extra stuff, that to me is when it gets a little bit too crazy. And the stuff that I did see, the stuff that I did hear from North Carolina was so beyond me, you know, that it makes no sense. You know, we already battle with, you know, the straight world, and, you know, some people have problems, you know, dealing with, you know, fighting, you know, straight guys, stuff like that. And then have to go to what we call our sanctuary, where ballroom used to be, where we can go and express ourselves and have fun, to not have to come near and fight and battle and get shot at or stabbed and all of that, too. It becomes crazy.
I agree. I definitely agree. Some of the things that people have brought up, especially in the chat room, are they need to bring protection because chat room is just growing. They need to bring protection, but it's not legal. Like, you have the right to bear arms. But all you're doing is taking a fight and trying to protect yourself, basically hurting them on purpose. Hopefully I'm making sense. I'm a young girl, so they don't like to listen to me. But you know what? They are listening. People are listening. Some other people are saying that some of them are, and if a lot of the older icons and gang leaders need to sit down, it will get better. So, yeah, I see you, sweetie. The question is, who was fighting? Ban the bitch. That's, you know, something else that they brought up. I got an idea. Maybe if a house member fights at a ball as a whole, the whole house should be accountable, held accountable for it. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can try to pinpoint on this. But, I mean, I thought about it, and I'm comfortable talking about my idea. Yeah. There's a lot of ways we can try to pinpoint it. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. We have been doing these episodes now. We are on the 13th episode. This is number 13. We have been talking about a state of emergency show every Wednesday night for the past 13 weeks. And it all really boils down to the leaders, the mothers, the fathers, the leaders of our ballroom scene, the leaders of our generation. And that's where it all starts from. MOOC did definitely bring up a very important, you know, something very important. It all starts at the top. You know, a lot of people are going to feel, you know, a lot of people have pride. And they're not going to allow people to disrespect them. It starts with the judge, the promoter. It starts with the judge's panel. It starts with the participants. It starts, at, you know, with the commentators. And it just twinkles on down to everyone else. But, I mean, bottom line is we do not need to be in a scene where someone is going to lose their life, lose a limb, lose functional activity on their body based on an event, a chop, an argument, and things of that sort. Where is all this violence stemming from? Besides the fact of pride and respect or embarrassment, where is this coming from? A lot of people also, you know, don't realize that when we're looking at these pictures of you, and we're looking at these videos, we see you. We see your actions. We see your intoxication. We see the drugs. We see these things about you. And some of these are leaders. I sat here and watched a video earlier today, and I'm not looking at the, you know, people that are walking. I always look in the crowd. And I'm looking at the crowd of leaders. And I'm looking the way they carry themselves and what they're doing at the ball. And it's such an embarrassment. It's really, really sad. And I just don't know what to say or how to feel or what to think about it. That's really my point. But go ahead, Chance. I know you had something to say, something you sent me a while ago. And I was going to read it, but you can go ahead and talk about it. Go ahead, Chance. I'll give you the floor.
Yeah. Well, I sent you a message saying that I had an idea about how to tame the ballroom violence. Maybe if we could, like, establish a higher power, you know, which would not only come down on the individual, but the house itself and the parents, which means maybe shutting down chapters temporarily or until further notice, removing parents from their positions, banning houses from functions. I mean, when you really look at it, it's like the icons, legends, this they built this scene, you know. So to let somebody else come and ruin something over some drama that they worked so hard, you know, and all the blood, sweat, and tears that they put into their quote unquote ballroom career, I think in my personal opinion, it just looks disrespectful.
Yeah, it does look disrespectful. And we can start off with that. Chance is giving us a idea. Do you guys feel that maybe the leaders of the ballroom scene or the icons or someone in those eras or stuff, they have the power or the right, or do you think they should take on the power or the right to make these, you know, changes within the scene as far as, you know, blaming a house or holding a house accountable for the actions that take place, maybe suspending that chapter, suspending that house, things of that sort. Someone brought up in the room that you can't do that. The house has to do that. But what happens if the house has consistently contributed to these type of actions? What happens then? Does it just continue to happen if we leave it in the hands of the house? Does it continue, and it continues to happen, then what's the next move? So what do you feel about that? I'm going to start with you, Trigger.
Honestly, you know, the only thing I see the parents could do is lead by example. You know, don't go out there and start no violence. Don't, you know, be, you know, try to fight somebody and, you know, do that. That's really, and they can say it at their meetings and they can, you know, try to implement, but at the end of the day, we are all adults and we are responsible for our own actions. You know, even though we are kids and we have parents, we are, some of us are above 25. So we have to learn how to think about tomorrow and what's going to happen if we do it. So the only thing that I could say that most promoters can do is start hiring actually police officers. You know, it may cost a little bit more, but at the end of the day, you could be saving someone's life. If you hire 3 or 4 police officers to, you know, run, you know, secure your event and, you know, to check outside and make sure everything runs smoothly, that may cut back on some of the violence, because most people, when they see higher authorities such as police, they don't really, you know, they don't want to start shooting or they don't want to cause any type of drama. So they, you know, they seem to chill. Instead of just having these regular security guards, because nobody pays security guards attention these days, they'd be like, I wish that security guard would say something to me. I'd knock his ass out.
Okay, somebody brought up something, Trigger, and I understand where they're coming from, because I am a promoter, and I've been through this. Police will just shut down the event as soon as they're tired. they'll shut down the event as soon as they're getting bored. The very first argument or something of that nature, they just feel like, I don't want to be here. They'll use this as an excuse, and they will just shut it down. So what do you feel about that? Because, again, we have to remember this is a underground scene. The only people that do understand us are us, if we reach out to, like the police and things of that sort to work at our events, they may not understand us, and they'll use the first little outburst, argument, a miscommunication to shut down the event and things of that sort. So what do we do at that point?
Okay, well, there are some security guards who are able to carry guns, and and the sad part is, it's like, what really can we do? It's like, at the end of the day, we have to be adults and learn to not resort to violence in every situation that we come upon, because at the end of the day, this is our world, but at the end of the day, we're going to end up killing our own world. It's like, I'm tired of going to functions and have to wear my protector in my life. It's like, has the ballroom scene become that serious to the point where you're willing to take a life just to gain respect?
Mm-hmm.
We have to run over somebody. I have to stab this girl or this boy just to make them think that, okay, I bet you won't try me no more. I mean, that is it's kind of a lot to put on the leaders to try to control hundreds and hundreds of kids at one function. It's like all they can do is say don't do. And all they can do is lead by example by not doing what they say. But do we honestly think that that's going to stop the violence from happening at the next function? Because as soon as somebody's ego gets stepped on, oh, they just tried me. Oh, well, I know if I fight this person, they have to go jump me. So let me go and get my gun out the car. It's like, what can you do at the end of the day? You're like, so at the end of the day, it's like you almost forced to go get your shit.
I got you.
I always tell people, if you bring weapons to a function, you are expecting to use it. And you're going to use it just as quick as something happened. But, I don't know.
Somebody says that people need to stop being scared to tell individuals or certain houses that they are not welcome at the event. To post on the flyer that I'm not going to say the name of the individual that you are saying, because it's like you're pinpointing one individual, but to put on the flyer that this person is not allowed to attend the ball or something like that, or even take their mugshot and put on the flyer, because 9 out of 10, they got one. 347, yeah, crazy. 347-766, you're on the air.
Just listening.
Thank you. Do me a favor, caller, and press 1 for me so you're not in the whole queue. J-Rock, you're on the air.
How y'all doing tonight?
Hello.
Hi, J-Rock.
I had kind of got the time mixed up because I'm here in Central Time. But I hear what y'all talking about, y'all. I didn't get all of it, but from what I'm getting, y'all on violence in the ballroom right now.
Yes.
Did
you say, J-Rock? I'm sorry.
From what I'm getting, from what I just came into, y'all are on violence right now, talking about violence in the ballroom.
Yeah, we're on the violence topic. We're talking about, some of the violence that is taking place at the balls. And we're using the example of the video that was posted based on the North Carolina Awards Ball this weekend with the parking lot shooting, with the gun being shot in the air during a little brawl in the parking lot. Did you see the video?
I saw that video, and what I have to say about that is that's not only just the ballroom. That's just, because I know, like, in Dallas on the Strip, when we used to leave and go leave from the club in Dallas on the Strip, you have these new kids, period. It's not just the ballroom. You got these new kids. I don't know what it about with these, this gunplay, shoot, all this kind of stuff, you hard and all this. It's just ridiculous. But when it comes down to the ball scene, that's an event and that's a function. Like I said before and many times before, when you're having a ball or something like that, go ahead and hire the police to come out. Do that, get that extra money, because it probably don't cost nothing but like $20 to $25 an hour to hire, you know, cops off duty. Hire them.
Well,
let people know
that. Trigger did just bring that up as far as hiring police to work the event, but someone also did bring up that usually a police officer, especially a straight one, basically 9 out of 10, once they get tired or because they do not understand our society, they will use the very first outburst argument or anything like that to shut the function down, because the only people that understand us are us as ourselves, us, the individuals alone, us. So how do we still deal with that? We lost J-Rock. TJ, you are on the air.
What's going on, y'all? Hey, Vanna. Hey, Daddy. Hey, Jazz. Who else on the phone?
We got Chance from L.A., Trigger Ebony from Miami, Marquise Prodigy, Mook Chanel, Vanna, and now you. We lost J-Rock, but I'm sure he'll be right back.
What's going on, everybody?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Not much. Okay, the North Carolina shooting, the two shots that went in the air.
Was it two?
It was only two shots.
Are you sure?
I'm dead sure, because when they were shooting, I was running across the street. It was two shots.
Okay,
it was
pop. Let me see. Honey, that was four shots.
Well, maybe it seemed like two, because when I heard pop, pop, I ran and jumped in the car. But it was reported from Marquise, who was standing right next to him, that it was a BB gun, not even a real gun.
Okay. Well, we know that it wasn't a BB gun.
Oh, well, that's what he said. But the whole situation with that, it was actually funny, because I don't know if the video showed a person getting out the car with a 2x4.
Mm-mm.
Well, somebody pulled up out of the car with a 2x4 and went to going off. Who the fuck wanna fight my fam? Let's go, bitches, let's go. They got this 2x4 guys walking up the street with it. Nobody said nothing. Out of nowhere, somebody just came and went to beating the hell out of them, and they dropped their 2x4.
Wow.
The next thing you know, after that, that's when the gunfire came in. And that's when everybody took off running and doing everything when the gunshots went off. But nobody was scared when the 2x4 and the fight happened.
Now, based on the video itself, you see everyone running like they're running for their lives, because it's a very scary situation. Even people running, people can get hurt over that. People can get trampled on. They can fall. They can be getting in their cars and trying to pull out and hit someone. I mean, something so simple and so stupid can still cost the lives of other people. What do you feel about that, TJ? What is your personal opinion on that? I know you're from Detroit as well, and you have shared a lot with us about some of the things that have happened over there. You have witnessed it. You have been a part of it and stuff. But bottom line is, what do you feel about this?
Truthfully, honestly, you really have no control over what an ignorant person is going to do after a function.
Mm-hmm.
As far as what can we do about it, there's really not much you can do about it, because you can't control what someone's going to do. As far as hiring extra police and things like that, yeah, they can't stop it after it gets started, but if they don't know what's coming, they can't stop it either. And let's be honest, if someone gets to shooting, a police officer is really not about to run up on them. So hiring a police officer, I'll do a police officer, and somebody shooting, I honestly think somebody starts shooting and they notice a straight police officer, that police officer will take off running first.
You know what, can I say something? I just really want to say something because, you know, I was listening to us saying, like, call the police and all of this. To me, personally, this starts with us. Let me tell you something. If we got icons and certain type of people in these houses that are leaders, and, you know, to me, if your child is out there fighting and you asking them not to, or it's a lot going on and you're trying to straighten it out, that means you have no chain of command in your house. That means what you're saying is really irrelevant, that these people have no respect for you, but these are people you call your house children and your children. That's some of the things that we had to get straight down here. That's why it's different down here in Detroit. It's a chain of respect. It's a respect issue. You can catch this person anywhere or anytime on the street and not at somebody's function.
But, Daddy, this is something I caught in North Carolina this weekend. Remember how we had the problem where everybody was saying that it was the leaders here in Detroit that had started everything and we trickled it down and got it fixed? But what I noticed in North Carolina this weekend, the leader is the main one to start all the shit. I seen it firsthand. It was people scared to walk categories this weekend because they house parents go whoop their ass if they didn't win.
Okay, hold on a second. Okay. Let me get a cigarette. Hold on. Yeah, I'm gonna need you to, you know, I'm gonna need you to lose the accent a little bit because your accent is like getting to me a little bit. But kind of talk like you're at the hotel front desk, and I am a customer. And explain that to me one more time. Say that again.
Okay. Which part? The whole thing, or just a key part of it?
The whole thing. What happened?
I stay here in Detroit. We had to. We took a
look. No, I know that part. I know the part. I'm talking about the part where we always blame who?
We always blamed the leaders.
Okay, and what did you witness this weekend?
House kids scared to walk categories and lose because their house parents or leaders in their house was going to whoop their ass if they didn't win.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's sad.
And
this was not just on Saturday. This was on Sunday, too.
I'm sure you don't want to mention no names, right?
I mean, everyone already knows. It was the talk of the night in the group.
I don't know what group you're talking about. Well, who was it?
Well, it was a Revlon child who was scared to walk and win, who was scared to walk their category because their house was going to beat them up if they didn't win.
Oh, wow. Now, is that something, now I'm going to speak on behalf of the House of Revlons. Is that something we know for a fact? Because, you know, people
it's not nothing that we know for 100% fact. It's not nothing that I know for 100% fact.
Yeah, people exaggerate and stuff like that. That doesn't even sound right to me. But, I mean, again, I don't know. But I don't agree with that. I don't think an iconic house like the House of Revlon would do something like that over a mini ball trophy or anything like that. I don't know. But, again, who am I to judge or say anything like that? But it's just odd to me. But, you know, that's just – it's a mess. It's a mess. Let's see what a couple of the callers have to say. We have a couple of people pressing 718-304, you're on the air.
Hello, I'm Jasmine. Hello, everyone.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, what's up?
I'm good. I think the problem is that, and you guys already said it or whatever, but why can't we agree to disagree? And that comes along with maturity, because a lot of the leaders are not mature enough to handle certain decisions. So when your child, you know, when your child wins over someone else's house or whatever the case is, you can't handle it, and then you want to start fussing and fighting and carrying on. Why don't you just accept it and say, okay, well, baby, we'll win the next time. We'll work harder. And that's part of the problem. I think if the leaders would be more diplomatic, then things will work out. Because you can't, because the South kids only follow their leaders. They follow
their
leaders.
You know what, caller? This is what I'm going to do, and I don't think I've asked anyone of this before.
But I want people, if you, everyone that's on the air right now, and anyone that wants to press one or people in the chat room, I want you guys to reach out to the leaders of this ballroom team that you feel are not responsible, but that can make a difference, and reach out to them and tell them, we look to you and we ask you to help change where we're at. Who are the leaders that you feel can help change this community? And I'm going to start with you, caller. Who do you feel are the ones that can help change all the problems that we have?
Okay, well, I will say one particular leader. I mean, I've seen him around, you know, at the balls and stuff like that. I will say, you know, I'm Tony Revlon. Sometimes I feel his actions are just so immature, and I guess he's in the heat of the moment, just like the fight he had with Jack or whatever the case is. It took him a whole 10 minutes to react to what Jack said. I guess it didn't hit him right then and there, but when he finally realized what he said to him, I guess that's when he jumped up and reacted. I feel he could have handled that in such a totally different way than what he did. You know, because when you see your leaders doing stuff like that, then the kids, they get involved because they're like, that's my house mother, that's my house father. I'm not going to let nobody jump him. I'm not going to let nobody touch him. But what he could have done is pull Jack to the side.
I understand where you're coming from, but you got to admit, Tony has completely changed
Yes, he has, and I totally agree. But you did ask me who I felt, right?
Yeah, so who do you feel can help change where we're at right now? Not what they did in the past, but evidently you must have enough respect for Tony at this point today to say, Tony, we need you to help change this community right now. And
absolutely.
That's what I'm asking.
Okay, absolutely,
because
so a lot of people,
Tony,
absolutely.
Yeah, Tony is one, but who else?
Who else would I say? Oh, definitely the commutators. Definitely the commutators. Jack, Selvin, you know, they are always at the major functions. They play a big part in the ballroom scene because they are the commutators. People look for them to call them out. You know, they have some kind of respect for them. Do you agree with that?
I agree. I definitely agree. I definitely agree that the commentators do have a lot more control than they're either utilizing or showing.
But I didn't mean to call out what happened in the past with Tony, but that was just something that, you know, I feel he definitely has a big impact when it comes to the ballroom scene. He definitely does. And also, I might say another name. I feel, you know, a lot of people respect her and stuff like that. I feel Ashley Icon. She's one of the people that can make a difference, too.
Okay. Well, thank you, Cole. I'm going to put you on the hold for a few because we have a couple of people that have pressed one, and I want to get a chance to get to everyone. The next caller is 816-606. You're on the air.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hey. Hey, how you doing?
Hi. I just wanted to come on and speak about the situation with the shooting and everything.
Okay.
I did want to say that I feel like it is something that, I mean, well, to me, it starts within the balls. So all the drama that's inside of the balls, I feel like, you know, what happened to the fundamental side of it being a ball? I feel like people are making it too much of their life, and it's resulting in people, you know, the whole shooting situation is resulting in just way too much going on, and I feel like, you know, Selvin Khan, I do believe that a lot of people do look up to him, and so in so many different ways, I feel like he is one main voice that really I feel should, you know, really, you know, chill it out just a little bit. You know, I did get to see a couple of videos about the ball, and I just noticed that they got into a huge altercation about him pulling a Revlon child, and I believe it was a Revlon child and a Chanel child, I think so. And the whole discrepancy over that, I mean, it just made the ball go on longer and all that drama and the arguing. There was another situation where there was a Chanel child, and it was, I think it was for Butch Queen Up in Drags. And it was a huge dilemma over her not, I think she was moaning, and they wanted to see if she was moaning or if she, you know, was really a witch queen up in drags. And so it was like a huge discrepancy over that. They were about to fight. I mean, it just, to me, it starts within the balls. People are making the balls too much of their life. Like you say, if somebody is supposed to, if you do not win, take your loss and go about your day. You know, it's not really about winning and winning, winning, winning. You're going to have to take your L and go about your day. And when you come back, just know that you have to come a little harder. And I feel like too many people take that seriously in the following scene.
Okay.
But what do you think about when they were supposed to win, or when it really went the wrong way because the judges and our leaders are doing certain things, you know, alliances or however they feel, you vote for my house, how do you feel about that? And that's sometimes where I think a lot of anger comes from with some people.
Like I've seen I've seen Father Icon go off a couple of times just because, you know, some of his own girls who deserve to win on certain occasions have lost, and I've seen him lose his mind. And I can understand that anger, but we also have to understand that ballroom is political, everything about it. And once again, you have to take your L and come back. You can, one day, I feel like when you have the determination, you handle it like a lady or like a man, the girls will see you eventually, and the panel will see you, and one day they will rule in your favor, but you have to come back with that same determination. You have to walk up there. You have to have
that
same determination to come back again.
I totally agree. Yeah, I agree, too. Okay, thank you, caller. We're going to go to a couple of other people because everybody's question 1-786-318. You're on the air. I'm sorry, 786-318. You're on the air. Okay, I'm going to hang up on you because you didn't say anything. 267-324, you're on the air.
Hi, everyone. I know you guys are probably, hi, how are you? You guys are probably going to kill me for this, but wasn't the ballroom scene based upon gay? It was a gang, you know, it was gang affiliation back in the day. It was more racially motivated back in the day. Now the ballroom has evolved. It's sad that it's evolved to a point where before, the way you got your respect is you walked the category and won, and the person who won that category was thrown the best shade and got the most respect. The ballroom has evolved to the point where it's still a gang, but now obviously people want to resort down to physical violence instead of just taking it out on the floor. They want to resort to bringing guns because people feel that they're not safe. And this is street kids we're talking about. These are street kids who sometimes all they have going for them is that ball or trying to win that cash to pay that bill or whatever. And when you have that mentality going into the ballroom scene, it's going to be so hard to change. And life imitates art, art imitates life, and it's going to be always gang affiliation through these balls and through the houses, always.
Okay. Anybody want to say anything about that? I'm going to start with Chance. You want to say anything about what he said talking about?
No.
Okay. Trigger? Trigger?
Say it again?
Did you want to rebuttal on anything that he said?
Really, even if it was based on gang-related stuff, it doesn't mean we have to keep dwelling in it. If I come from a family full of gang members, that does not mean I have to act like them. At some point, like I said, we have to be accountable for our own actions. We have to be accountable. We have to be responsible for our future. It's like, Maybe that's why I don't like picking up guns, because I know if I get heated, I may shoot somebody. But then I know if I shoot somebody, I'm going to jail for the rest of my life, and that's the end of my life and my future. But I think about that, and I think if most people just think about the consequences and what may happen, I think a lot of it will cease. But a lot of people don't think about what they're doing. They just do it, and then they think about it when it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Marquise, anything you want to say?
I just want to say this one thing, even though if that is true, because I'm really not for sure how true that is, but if it is true about the ballroom scene, you know, being brought on, you know, gang relations, the ballroom scene has evolutionized so much that I still don't think we would be in that same state of mind as gang-related activity. It's just like the categories. The categories has changed and transformed over the time to things that people who came out back in the 60s probably would never thought to get to. So I don't think a gang relations thing would still be the foundation of ballroom.
I'm not trying to be literal saying that it's gang like the Crips and Blood, but a house is a gay street gang. It's a bunch of people who, A, were ostracized, marginalized, they're hustlers, they're prostitutes, they're escorts, they're drug dealers, they are homeless, they are those people, and they have a mentality. The ballroom, yes, has grown and evolved where you have kids from the suburbs are coming to balls and turning it out, and you have all that different stuff now turning into balls.
I don't think all. I'm in the Army National Guard and I'm in the ballroom scene.
Yes, that's
okay,
what I'm saying. That's how it started.
So is AKA a gang? You know, it's been a sorority, a fraternity, a gang. It's an organization. I don't think that we should put a stigma as gang on something that is a cultural thing. That's the problem with us now. Always trying to label something and label it with derogatory labels and expect to actually grow beyond it. The house is an organization, a family, someone that you're supposed to be able to turn to, whether you guys are fighting, whether you're arguing, or whether you're not doing anything but having fun. It's an organization. I know white organizations that fight fucking cuss the same way. You can go to raise and see organizations. Our organization is just that. Stop labeling it a gang because that's a derogatory thing.
Okay, well, I'm sorry if that's offending you, but, you know, the mob is a white organization and they kill people.
You're just using one, though, but you have to understand you're using one white organization as far as the mob compared to how many other white organizations that aren't doing it. It's the same thing with art. You know, they have Bloods and Crips and things of that sort, but there's still fraternities, there's still sororities. There's still many groups of individuals that are not doing this. So us as a gay community, just because we have our own family, our own gang, our own sorority, our own fraternity, why is it okay to do these things?
You know what's so funny to me? It's just listening to this and listening that this is a gang or this is something like that. You know, up here, not being funny, I just really learned something. I really have more respect for my city because up here it's not like that. We're not against each other because we're in different houses. We were all friends and family before we became in a house. We have a love for one another that's totally different. So when it comes to all of that, it don't be like down here, don't be one house jumping on another house. Down here is not like that. It'll be some people in this house get into it, people in this house get into it. And, you know, I mean, it's not like that. I mean, God, a gang. That's kind of harsh.
I really, this whole gang thing, I don't know where that came from because I thought the whole object of ballroom scene now was about family. Trying to better one another. Like, the gang thing, I never actually even heard it. That's why I said, I don't know if that's how the ballroom scene has came up, but I don't know about all that.
At a function, I don't just sit with my house. I go talk to everybody I've been wanting to see or chill with, whoever. If any of y'all ever seen me, when I'm never just sitting in one place, it's a lot of people I like and that I know, and I don't feel like just because I'm in one house, like I can't get up and go speak to them and kick it with them. That just don't make no sense. I didn't pay $30 for that.
And I'm getting a lot of debates on this one topic. I'm getting people that are saying that gangs are family.
Can I say something?
I'm getting people that are saying that the ballroom scene was not built on gangs. It was built on family, which I do agree with for the simple fact that especially the younger generation being abandoned from their homes and living in group homes, not having families that understood their sexuality and things of that sort,
They cling to other individuals, leaders, older mothers and fathers within the ballroom scene as their own parents, having their own brothers and sisters and things of that sort. That wasn't based on a gang, an initiation, things of that sort. Even though we can compare and say an initiation was hitting the runway and bringing a trophy, but yet it was still more or less as an understanding of our lifestyle. And then I get the debate from other people right now that are whispering in my ear and calling my other phone, saying that is the same way Blood and Crips are built as well. They use each other as family members. That is my brother. That is my sister. Things of that sort. But their lifestyle is a lot more different than ours. So do you really compare them?
Jasmine.
Yes.
This is J-Rock. This is really like burning me up inside, because for people to be trying to put ballroom and gang in the same freaking, I mean, if you want to get technical and literal like that, that's just childish. I'm sorry. I'm just going to call it like it is. This is, gang members do certain things. Gang members do gang-like stuff. The ballroom
okay,
ain't got
J-Rock,
no business compared to a gang.
J-Rock, let's do this, because that's what they're flagging me down. When you think of a gang, you think of a house family, you have the support when they're hitting the floor. You have the Bloods and the Crips, just using Bloods and Crips as one. When one does one thing, everybody else supports and cheers them on. When the house walks, everybody supports and cheers them on. If one of the Bloods are fighting in a fight or whatever, all the Bloods jump in. If a house member is fighting, all the house members jump in. I think that is where they're doing the comparison, you know. So just understand where they're coming from and try to explain it in your own way.
Jasmine, hold on one second. I really need to interrupt. I'm so sorry. If your family, if see you at a graduation, they're going to cheer you on. If your family knows that you get a good job, they're going to cheer you on. If you're sitting on the porch and somebody jumps on one of your kids, where is your real mother? She's coming outside and throws her cousins and your uncles and your aunties. So that is if your family's not a gang, it's your family.
Thank you. Okay. Go ahead, J-Rock, because I know it's eating you up inside.
See, my thing is, people always divert from the real issue. First of all, society has got too sensitive already. Not only are they too sensitive, the new generation and the leaders, the older people, they should already know this. Back in the day, a chop is a chop. The ball has always had shade in there since the beginning. If somebody shades you, bitch, come back stronger, so strong till they look at you and say, bitch, I can't even shade this hoe. I got to give them their 10s. You just got to know how to evolve over there. That's how you learn how to live with life. People are going to shade you at McDonald's and take your hours away from you and make you work 2 days out the week and stuff like that. Yeah, your boss just shaded you. But if you don't know how to get over shadiness, if you don't know how to take a chop, if you don't know how to do all them kind of things, you can't even survive in regular life. And that's just it. It don't have nothing to do with you being in a gang. And then when they start getting mad, those same type of people with the mentality they got, yeah, bitch, she shaded you, blah, blah, blah. The whole thing is you have to have some kind of order at the ball. And when I was talking about police officers before my call dropped, I wasn't saying, call the police. No, you let people know before they get there. I don't know about no other city, but I know in Dallas, Texas, I wish you would be starting to shoot. They come out swarming. The Dallas police is waiting for somebody to do something stupid. And I always tell people, when you come to Dallas, please do not go to Lusteric Justice Center, because you're not getting out. The judges don't care, and you will be in there, and it will be horrible. So my thing is, just already let them know before they get there, if this is what you want to do, we already have the police already on the scene. Paddy wagons is around the corner ready to go, so do you. If you want to add the food and cut the food, then fine. And we've had the balls that we had Dallas police there and everything. And guess what? Fathers and mothers have argued with the panels. The Dallas police, they didn't look at it and say, we don't know what's going on. That's we don't understand. Let's arrest them. No, they didn't do that because it's the way that you do it. It's always been people arguing with the panels and all this kind of stuff.
I understand. I completely understand and agree with you. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to you or to Dallas at all. That is true. When you do deal with a smaller community or a smaller event.
But when you have 500, 600, 700, 1,000 of the ballroom participants at a venue, in a hot box, in a ballroom, and you have police in front of 1,000 gay individuals, it kind of throws them off. Compared to having 50 or 100 or something like that, but the more you have, the more out of control they feel that things make it. So, just keep
I don't know. Somebody that went to the lipstick ball can let you know that inside of the ballroom was over 400. It was 400 in the ballroom.
Okay. Let's go to another caller real quick because I think your phone is going in and out. 770-374, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Good evening. I think something that's being neglected is that this is a competition. And in the competition, people become passionate. They become passionate about their family members, about what's going on. We all know that the ball scene is built around politics, and so a lot of times that panel of judges, they aren't always fair. You know, they're not always fair in some of the chops that they give, and their families react to that. You know, their families react to what they feel is the unfairness of the game. But it is a competition, and they go into it with the intent of winning. Everyone who attends, think they're going to win, they prepare to win, and they want to be served fairness in their effort to win the competition. As far as the police go, you know, police are going to do their job. They're there. If you call the police, they're going to arrest people. If they're at your event and they see illegal activity going on of any kind, they're going to arrest people. There are organizations that you can call that will secure your place that they do carry guns. They're not police officers, but they're armed guards that will come out to your events. You know, I've used them many times in the past. They will show up to your events. They will secure your events. And they won't necessarily pay attention to all the things that are going on, but if something arises that is out of control, they will cease the problem without necessarily having to arrest anyone. And if the police will be brought in, they'll bring them in. I just think we're getting out of the fact that it's a competition and that people do get excited. Their enthusiasm is running, and they want to compete, and they want to win. You know, and that's why they come. They come to win. You know, and for no other reason. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know what? But what you're saying, that you know, you really are telling the truth. And you know, that's what's the saddest part about it, is that it's a competition or it's a event or like I'll say like the Olympics or like sports or something like that. And here we are supposed to be. They say we like, well, probably not no more. But they used to say we was like the most creative people and all of this. And here we can't even have a decent competition. You know, people had Olympics. They get paid big money. You know, basketball teams, all this. You know, they win, lose, they go home. You know, here we got to get up in here and we fight. And ain't nobody even getting paid like that. I think that's sad.
I think if they change up that panel some, I think sometimes, because I also want to mention Icon Tony Revlon, you know, I think he's just passionate about his house and about his family and about what they do and about how unfair it becomes. You know, and just how the things that happens on that judges panel, the things that they say, the things they do. A lot of times people aren't even paying attention, but yet you're judging someone. You don't know what they even did. You've been talking to the girl next to you the last hour. You have no idea what has transpired, and yet you're able to chop someone based off the person next to them chopping them. I don't get that. You know, I've never understood it. And I've been attending balls since the mid-80s, and I've never gotten how – you know, it was different during that time. You know, I do see the same family structure that I saw back then. I think now, you know, it's more poignant to be something in the ball scene now. You could be in the ball for 5 years and become a legend. I've never heard of that, but you know, it happens. And I think what happens now is that people are trying really, really hard to make a name for themselves. And so due to that, their excitement is different. You know, it's a lot more creativity now. Well, then, because I think people put time into their craft versus it being microwaves. You know, they really took time out. I remember attending the LaBeija balls, and they would really put work into it. I mean, really, really work. And people came out to have fun. And as far as a gang is concerned, I see how they can compare it to a gang, but it's nowhere near that. You know, I've learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about the people that I was around from attending those ball scenes. They definitely mold you and create you. and it gives you the enthusiasm to go on. In my case, I went on and got a master's from hanging around those same people. You know, they just kind of, they were very encouraging, you know, very influential in what my day-to-day was. I just think that sometimes, you know, we get caught up in the excitement of what's going on, not to be disrespectful, but even to back up a little, even those commentators sometimes, even they're disrespectful. The things that they say, mm-hmm. Some of the things they allow to come out their mouths, and I can see how people get excited and want to confront them. Because at the mm-hmm. end of the day, these are adults. All the people who are attending these balls, they're adults. And you can't talk mm-hmm. to another adult any kind of way. You just can't. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think respect starts at the top, and then it works its way down. If we don't give respect, then you can't expect to get it back. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just hope that we all keep in mind that it is a competition, but that after this competition is over, these people go back to their prospective places and go back to doing whatever they were doing prior. But on Saturday night, it's time to let your hair down. It's time to win. And I think people come in there with the aspiration of winning. And sometimes winning brings out excitement.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, but they just can't have poor sportsmanship, though.
Yeah. Caller, do you want to say who you are or your name?
No, I don't. I love you guys' show. You know, I think what you're doing, Jasmine, is great. I think bringing these different people and getting their opinions. I really believe the ball scene just needs an overall cleanup. You know, I don't know what kind of panel the icons have formed, but they need to form a panel. You know, a real panel of real people who are concerned, and also stop letting legends deem legends in the ball scene, because it's ridiculous that they do that. But, you know, I think the icons need to get together collectively in their prospective states and really design a board so that it can get back on structure. It's a positive thing. It's very influential. And I see a lot of good that comes out of it. You know, a lot of people who wouldn't have families, who wouldn't even have a place in society have been given one. Due to that ball
mm-hmm.
scene. You know, so I applaud you all for that. I really and truly do. It's not for everybody, but for those who get involved, you guys have an opportunity to raise the people behind you. There's so many people that admire those icons. I've seen them. They admire them. And if only they could see the positive behind that versus, you know, it's not about somebody worshiping you. There's only one man that I worship, and I've yet to see his face yet. Everyone else, you know, they're humans like me, and so they put a lot of power in these people. I only wish they used it for the good, you know, because they really could deter. If they're fighting, I think the house should sit them down and say, listen, we can't do this because we're going to be penalized as a house if we continue doing this.
Yeah.
You know, but the problem is the icon or icons are the one causing the trouble, and who sits them down? Who talks to them when they're the ones doing it? Who says something to them? You know, it's hard to pull the coattail of the owner of a company, you know, if he's the one that's doing all the messing up. But that's why there needs to be a board of directors of icons that can say, listen, you know, seemingly no one else can talk to you. We're going to let you know now if this continues, you know, we're going to have to sit you down. You're not going to be allowed to attend anymore. You know, and I think some repercussions need to be taken so that people understand that this is a society. It's a society of creative, talented, influential people who've gone on to do great things in and outside of this ballroom scene, you know, and why put a bad stigma on the people who are doing good based off a few people who just can't control their liquor or can't control their temper or just excited about the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, caller. It's very important. Thank you so much, and I really appreciate you listening to the show. We're going to go on to our next caller, Jason. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Jasmine. Hello, everyone.
Hey.
How you doing? What's up?
When I came out in the 90s, telling my age, and I was introduced to the houses, the way that it was introduced to me, it was compared to a fraternity and a sorority. And that's the concept that I always kept with it. When it started to get violent, and I could no longer agree with what was going on, that's when I decided to step out and decided to go to school. But I always had kept in my mind that concept of it's like a fraternity and a sorority. Part of the biggest problem is that if I became an alpha, I couldn't go join Kappa. If you were a delta, you couldn't later become, you couldn't then go join Sigma Theta if something happened and you're with the Deltas and you didn't like it. Once you were in, once you're in, you're in. So if I have a problem with, and I can admit for myself that I have control issues. I have issues with authority, if that if I don't agree with what you're telling me, if I don't agree with what you're telling me, I'm going to dispute it. I'm going to respect you. But at the end of the day, the final decision is mine. And part of the problem is that some of these adults who take on roles of leadership use that power for not always for good, but for evil, and that causes problems. And I saw alone in Baltimore where I've seen leaders go out and tell their kids to attack someone. I've seen leaders tell their kids, oh, they want to leave, attack them. So when you already have that inner dissension in your house where your leaders are telling you if you do this or I'm going to, you do this or I'm going to, you're going to pay for that later, you're going to have that stigma and you're going to be scared of, okay, if I don't please daddy or if I don't do what mama says, what's going to happen to me? That's one thing. The other thing is that when you go out, we should be able to, I think it was Rhonda said, when she goes to a ball, she speaks to this person and that person. You can, and you're supposed to. When I go to step shows, I see Deltas and Sigma sitting together and having a good time, but when it's time to step on that stage, you do what you need to do, you win or you lose, and at the end of the day, you hug, and you go your way. Nobody fight. Nobody gets into fights. Now, granted, yeah, you might see a few little fights or little scuffles on the Internet that this group, this fraternity and that fraternity got into a fight, but nobody gets killed. Nobody is going to the hospital. Nobody is worrying about, okay, retaliation. They're going to come to my house and they're going to bust my windows out. They're going to flatten my car tires. None of that happens. And I'm not saying that what the straight people are any better than, they're not no better, they're no better than the rest of us, but we have to set an example for them. If we want to mainstream what we do and be accepted, and all they ever see on the Internet is at the end of the ball, shots being fired, people getting run over or being chased down the street in trucks because we've seen those incidents too, or people's getting wigs getting snatched or getting hit in the head with a trophy, when you see those things, they make you want to stay away. And that is my biggest, that's my biggest fear. Okay, if I decide that I want to come out and this is going to be my first ball back out and I walk in and as soon as I walk in, boom. I mean, the girls used to, they don't do it now, but the girls used to go in the club and they thought it was funny that they would just spray mace in the air. Mm-hmm. I think that's the stupidest thing, but they would just go in the club and spray mace in the air. And security, and part of the problem is that when you have security that does not care, that barely checks a bag or they really don't do a pat down, you have situations like that where they can bring a mace into a club, they can bring a pocket knife, they can bring all those things, but anything can be a weapon. I can turn a can of spray, hairspray into a weapon.
Shakira. Oh, she's staying the night with you.
But my thing is that we do as adults and leaders need to come together, and I think that there does need to be an outside board, a board with outside ballroom people and ballroom people that come together and make a board that sits down and makes up rules or comes up with things that, okay, if these people come to the ball and they don't do right, not a ban list, but then they just don't come. If the Deltas or the Sigmas go somewhere and they do something wrong, they're on punishment for a year. They can't participate in anything for a year. And that happens, and you have to stick to it, and everybody has to stick to that. But if we're not going, but if you're going to sit down and say we're going to do this and we're going to start a ban list, and then 2 days later the people still come, okay, if they show up to the ball, then you ignore them. If your child is doing something wrong and you tell them no and they still continue to do it, you ignore them until they get the point and they're going to do it. So that was me. That means that right there is something that needs to happen, that if we say that this is what's going to happen if you do that, and you do that, then see you next year. See you in 6 months, or we don't see you at all. That's just my thought.
Chance, I think you want to say something.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. When my personal father brought me into the scene, I wouldn't necessarily call the ballroom scene gangs or houses gangs. He explained it to me as, you know, it means certain things for certain people. For some people, it may be a a sense of family, or for some people just like to get dressed up in costumes and effects and live that glamorous life.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, it's just something to do for fun. You know what I mean? So to get attention. So I personally took my experience. The ballroom scene led me to join the Army. So
really?
I turned it into a positive experience because, in my personal opinion, it was taking over my personal life and my public life. So I had to channel that and turn it into something positive.
Gotcha. J-Rock, there's a ballroom in J-Rock. Are you there?
Yes, I'm
here. J-Rock, is your birthday?
Oh, yes, today is my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Today is J-Rock's birthday. Everybody say happy birthday to J-Rock in the chat room.
Happy birthday, J-Rock.
Did the ballroom scene guide you into the military, or were you already in the military when you came to the ballroom scene?
I'm the opposite. I was already in the military when I came to the ballroom scene. I knew about the ballroom scene, but I didn't have time for the ballroom scene because from the age of 18 to 22, I was really, like, sailing. I'm a sailor, so I was around the world and stuff, you know, doing my job as an electrical engineer. But then when I got a chance to kind of be, like, stay still, and when I went to New Orleans and I did law enforcement with the Navy, I started being able to go out more, and then that's when I found out about the House of Ebony back in 2008 and everything. And then I joined the house because I felt like all day long I'm with all these dudes. I'm running everybody. Everybody respecting me. I can, you know, everybody, yes, petty officer, no petty officer. I got all this power in the military, but this is not my family. The people out there in the gay scene was really who I was. It's like I felt like I was being too straight, but that's not what I wanted to do. I wasn't getting my life. So the ballroom, when I go from a uniform to some tights and some boots and lace my boots, my other boots up, not my combat boots, but my walking boots, and I meet a girl at the back of the runway and we march down, and if I get chopped, I get chopped. If I stay, I stay. That's life to me. That's competition. That was fun. I was being able to, what I say, clean out. And then in the morning, get back up, shave, go back, and tell grown-ass men, do what the hell I just told you to do or get kicked out the Navy. So that's what I like about it. That's why I just told whoever this is, talking about Dallas is late. J-Rock could never be late. Why? Because every morning I'm going to get up like a man, go to work, tell people what to do to defend this country so we can have balls. And then I'm going to go back to the balls and get my life. And I am legendary. I'm legendary on the labor scene. Maybe not the ballroom scene, but I am legendary on the labor scene. 12 years. Get some.
Leave J-Rock alone. It's his birthday. What are y'all doing?
Shit, that's what's up, J-Rock. Shit.
Jason.
Yes.
When you saw the video of the guns being shot in the air, what was the first thing you thought of? And, you know, what did it do to you?
When I saw the video, it reminded me of a year ago at a straight club, the same thing happened where a police officer fired shots in the air, but he said it was in self-defense and he killed someone. When I saw it, initially made me think of a movie. It was like a scene right out of a movie. I mean, it was funny to see some of the people laughing, but it wasn't funny in a sense of it was funny. It was funny that it was just sad that you are, it's whatever time it was, a ball letting out, people are trying to get to their car, people are still congregating and talking, and out of nowhere, pop, 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 and then you take off running. Bullets ricochet. Bullets don't have a name. So anyone, it could have hit someone in the neck, went through them, got two other people, and did whatever, did all types of damage, ruined cars, could have just did anything. And for it to just be done and people just get in their car, drive off, no one said anything, no one reported because no one got hurt, it still should have been reported, regardless if anyone got hurt or not. It should have been reported. Because if you know, when you know better, you do better. And if you're going to do that, then you, there's repercussions for everything. And if you're going to take out a gun and shoot it in the air and say you're trying to clear a crowd and you're not crowd control, you need to pay a penalty for that.
718-304, you're back on the air.
Hi. I have a question for J-Rock. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, now, my question is to you, because it seems like when you say, when you go to work, you're a man or whatever, it sounds like you're very passionate about that. Could you give me the definition of being a man? What is the definition of being a man to you?
Oh, okay. Being a man does not mean that I'm not talking about a straight man or a gay man or anything like that. I think being a man is taking care of your responsibilities and being a responsible adult and owning up to your owning up to the things that you do, not being fake to nobody, not going out there and setting an example for other young people. And I say that's my definition of a man. That's my definition of a man. And when I say a real man, because anybody can be a man, that's just like asking me what's the definition of a daddy versus a father. You know what I'm saying? So my definition of a man is somebody that can get up, accept responsibility, take care of himself, take care of family. And, I mean, a man, what we was raised to do as a man. I mean, I get up, I go to work every day. Not only do I go to work every day, if I do something wrong, I accept the responsibility. Before I do something, I know the consequences of what I do, so no one can make me or influence me or do any kind of peer pressure to make me do something. If I slapped you, that's because I wanted to slap you. I can't say my friends told me to go slap him or the House of Ebony told me to go jump him. No, you better ask anybody in the House of Ebony. If y'all going to do all that stuff, baby, who's not going to jail is me, because nobody
okay.
is worth my career. Nobody. I don't give a damn who you are. Icon, legend, you're not worth my money, my bills, my food, my clothes, and my grandmother's name and my mom's name. And I'm not going to go out there and embarrass my real family and my blood from doing some stupid stuff.
Okay.
I'm still going to come out there every ball, and I'm going to get my life, and I'm going to love Revlon, Mizrahi, Couture. It don't matter what you are. I'm going to love you. You see what I'm saying? But like I said, a real man, somebody that takes care of responsibility, being responsible, not letting someone else influence them to do something, that's called a child. And you have to grow up one day and be a man. Mm-hmm. That's my definition of a man.
Daddy was talking. Uh-huh, absolutely. I definitely agree with you on that. Now, what about, Jasmine, like, what about having, like, I guess, it may sound silly, but because we're dealing with a bunch of adults, but what about having mediators? Like, if there is a disagreement and someone seems they can't really calm themselves down, like if they're on the judge's panel or if they're walking and they feel strongly about something, that they can go to someone and talk about it or whatever.
I agree. So where do you plant these mediators at? Is it someone within their own house? Is it someone, you know, that's always at a ball, just, you know, in the back room waiting? Where do you plant these people at? You know, I agree. There should always be, people should always feel that they have, or look forward to having someone that they can talk to. But again, we live in a society where we have a lot of lack of trust. They're scared to talk to this one because they don't trust them. And, you know, they're going to spill their tea or spread their information and things of that sort. So it's like, you know, taking on a role, but yet, you know, you're not trusted by many. A lot of people, especially the younger generation, feel that they don't have anyone to go to because no one's going to understand them, but they have no one to talk to. So, I mean, where do you put this at? You know, I agree, there should be some, but where would you place them?
Well, it would have to start with, it would definitely have to be some of the their peers or the leaders or whatever that, like you said, is about trust. Because if someone does not trust you and they have a situation, they feel that you're unfair or whatever, then they're not going to deal with you. But it has to be a group of people that they trust, that they see at the ball all the time, and that they ultimately respect. So,
yeah. I say this to everyone, you know, everyone is not going to be like me. A lot of people reach out to me. A lot of people feel very comfortable speaking with me. And a lot of people don't. You know, a lot of people feel they listen to the opinions of others that are haters or, you know, jealous or whatever, and then stay away from Jasmine, da-da-da-da-da. But there's other people who cling on to me. But it doesn't have to be me. Find someone, because there are it's people out there. Find someone that you can talk to. So when you are having a bad day, someone you can share that with, maybe someone that can guide you in the right direction. I know I'm not the only person in this ballroom thing. I know that there's tons of other people out there because sometimes I have bad days and I reach out to people. Tony Revlon is one of the people I constantly reach out to that guides me. A lot of people feel certain ways about him. A lot of people feel certain ways about me. But Tony is a good man. He's a very, very good man. And, yes, he is very passionate about not just himself, not just his house, but about this scene. So he is one of those people that I even personally reach out to him when I am questioning things or I'm having a bad day. But Tony is another one to reach out to that will listen. You know, there's many people out there that will listen, and you just have to find them. You know, I don't know if that can even be a start, but I don't know. That's just, you know, my opinion. But thank you, caller. You're on point with that. We have another caller, 504-563. You're on the air. 504-563, you're on the air. Oh, you hung up. Somebody sent me a message on Facebook. I can't call in because I had an issue with the leader as well. I had an issue with a leader as well, and they threatened me and said their house was going to jump me. I did say if someone did do that, I would put their hands on me. I was going to get my gun, but I said it wasn't worth it. So I guess people are saying they need to use a weapon to protect themselves because, like someone said earlier, there are houses out there that will send them by the group to attack them. I think the new I'm gonna give you guys a chance to talk, or just rebuttal about anything. Chance, did you want to talk about anything?
No, I'm in here in the chat room.
Oh, okay. Trigger, did you want to bring anything up?
Only thing that I would say about mediators, the mediators should be the parents and the leaders in your house. That's where it needs to start. I shouldn't have to go off my porch to find guidance. I should be able to walk into my mother or father's room, sit down, and say, hey, I got a problem with this. What do I need to do? And if you can't respect the people in your own front door, how are you going to respect somebody outside of it? I mean, I just think a parent, you automatically have to, you should be automatically ready to take that title as a mediator. And if more children would respect their leaders and their parents, then maybe the problem would, you know, wouldn't be as much as it is today. I understand we can't respect everybody in our house. Me personally, if I can't respect people in my house, I shouldn't be a part of this house, because you should be the first people I should be able to reach out and say, hey, I shouldn't have to call, you know, Jasmine Couture, even though it's nice too, but I should be able to go to my own house leaders and parents and be like, help me. But I don't know if that's an issue, you know, with some of these kids and their leaders. You know,
I can debate that just a little bit, Trigger. What do you feel about the house members that are in their house, in their position, and of course their house or their house leaders expect so much of them, so they wouldn't want to show a weak side of themselves? So, you know, they're like, damn, if I say something or if I bring this up, they're going to probably look at me a different way, or it might hurt my chances of, you know, growing within the house and so forth and so on. So they feel that they have to reach outside just to get, you know, a clearer mind, a bigger picture of things. You know, what do you say about those types of people?
You know, life is a challenge. It's just like saying you're on a job. If my boss gives me duties and I can't meet those requirements, then I need to find me another job where I can meet those requirements. If your parents is putting too much on your back, you should be able to sit down with your parents and be like, look, this is just too much for me right now. I can't handle all this type of responsibility. This is too much. Can you help me, or can you show me how to do it? You have to at least try, because, you know, you have to be able to hold your own ground. And there are a lot of times when things do get put on our plate, that's just too much for us to handle. If it's too much for you to handle, open your mouth and tell somebody. Don't sit up there and hold it in and don't say nothing, then it explodes and you have to go out and ask somebody else. You should ask the person who gave you those duties, because they would know best what to do. And if those people can't help you, yeah, you can go outside and you can ask other people, you know, for them. But those should be second and third opinions. But your parents and your leaders should be one of the strong opinions, because you are in their house. And they did give you that assignment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mook, anything you wanted to touch upon? Mook?
He probably just fell asleep.
Oh, Vonna?
He got to get up for work in the morning.
Vonna, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I said, did you want to touch up on anything real quickly?
I'm walking out of here right now. I'm walking out of the house. I don't want to make all this noise. I'll touch up on it until I come out of here.
Okay. TJ, did you want to touch up on anything?
Yeah. Everyone
TJ,
keeps saying,
really, TJ, you really, okay, I'm going to stop. Go ahead.
I know what you were going to say.
What was I going to say?
He just gave himself away.
You caught it, right?
Caught what?
Oh, I caught it.
I caught it, too. Go ahead,
caught
TJ.
What?
Nothing, TJ. Give us your poem. I mean, what you gotta say?
Ooh! Just do it, bad man.
Y'all trying it tonight? Y'all trying it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, what I was going to say. Everyone keeps saying leader, leader, leader. Now let's be 100% real. Half these people who have a leader position only have it for LSS and just for a title. They couldn't lead a blind dog to the fucking park. So there's no way in hell they can lead a house or kids, just being 100% real. And for them to be able to break up something and do something, if the kids don't respect you or have any trust for anything, they're not going to listen to nothing you say.
Yeah. All right.
So if everyone keeps getting leader, 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 the leaders can do this. You have to actually get leaders, real leaders that people will actually care for and say something.
Uh-huh.
Here in Detroit, of course, it, no matter, like Mook said earlier, we can all unite together and be one. But let's just say this. I'm a MZA. Say if God has to come up and say something to the MZA, of course they're going to do whatever she says. It doesn't take Janie for me to say anything. God has to say something because, look, she's a leader. She's a leader that everyone respects. When you respect
it
in a general basis.
Is it Goddess's birthday?
Yes, it is.
Happy
I'm going to call her after
Goddess.
The show. Happy birthday, Goddess. We're going to the casino.
So go ahead, CJ.
But once you're a leader that's respected overall, things can change. Look at Fred Chanel. When he says something, it's respected overall. It's not just something that he can say in Atlanta and it's going to stop there. Certain people, Jasmine with you. Look at James. When he says something, regardless of who you are, you go respect because he's a real leader, someone you respect in the scene. Certain people don't have that. They're not a real leader because they just do it for the title or for fun or a kiki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And I think
J-Rock? Go ahead,
CJ. Oh, that was it.
J-Rock, anything you want to touch on?
No, I'm just listening right now, and I'm laughing at TJ.
J-Rock, really? You're going to post that in the chat room?
Jason,
baby, I don't know. I cannot confirm nor deny. I'm just saying what I'm hearing. So.
What did you say, Jasmine?
Anything you wanted to touch up on?
I guess the only thing I want to touch back on is that I think that at some point after all, I don't know what's the last, I guess my state, I guess Baltimore is the last state that's going to have an awards ball. And I think once the final awards ball is done, I think that the leaders, the main leaders of the houses, they all need to get together somewhere in a neutral city, even from the East Coast and the West Coast. And everybody needs to sit down, even if it's just a retreat for a weekend. And it just be nothing but a retreat of all the house leaders. I mean, if you can put together full ball and you can do what you do to get to this state or that state full ball, then somebody designate one state in a neutral area where all these main house leaders come together and you actually do have meetings every day for a week, and then party in the week during the night, but during the day actually have real conferences and talk about what can be done. I mean, CEOs and corporate 5,000 corporations do this every year, do this all the time, have business retreats. So I think that that's something that needs to be done. At the end of it all, just have one big house cookout somewhere or one big house party somewhere where everybody comes together and it's actually real unity and real love. No competing, no ball walking, just coming together in fellowship and in love. Because if once we realize and we start to actually love each other, then we'll put the value on each other's lives, that your life actually means something to me. Right now there's no value in life. It's more value on materialistic things and money and the cash prize or the cash cow than it is in the person that you're competing against.
Mm-hmm. 718-304, did you want to say something again?
Oh, I'm just listening to everything, you know, that's being said, you know.
All right, I want to switch up the topic a little bit, even though they all seem like they are all a part of, you know, part of the same thing. But what do you guys feel about the drugs that are, you know, that we're seeing? I mean, of course, it's been happening for years and things of that sort. But, you know, right now it's just being shown all over the place. We're actually seeing it firsthand in videos. We're seeing it in their pictures. We're seeing it all over Facebook. What do you guys feel about the drugs, especially within the younger generation? what is your opinion on it? And I'm going to start with Chance.
Well, I mean, it's people are going to do it regardless, but that just falls under the same thing where you guys were, we were talking about having police officers come to the function. People aren't going to be able to do what they do at the function when the police are there.
Shit.
You know?
Shit, yeah, shit. If you want to do it, you're going to get the ball.
You'll find somewhere to do it at, right?
Oh, bitch, you'll be in a bathroom stall, bitch, your car, bitch.
Shit. Nah,
you
want to
get fucked up, you
want
to get fucked up.
I kind of think some people probably shouldn't, like, get as blowed as they get, because I think a lot of problems come with that, too. You know, people be a little bit too blowed and can't really, like, control themselves. So I think they kind of go too far sometimes.
Wait a minute. Where did you just go a second ago and come back to?
I
had switched over for a minute.
You had who?
I had switched over.
I thought you had went and did one of your sleeping numbers.
Oh,
it's just
nah.
You know what you have? It's just discretion. You know, whatever you do, do it in moderation and do it in discretion. People don't have to know that you put a powder in your nose. People don't have to know you're doing anything. But people are going to do them. You know, you're an adult at the end of the day. We have a bad thing that we've done a couple shows ago of calling people children when they're actually adults. You know what I'm saying? So we can't monitor adults. We can't tell adults, okay, you can't do this and you shouldn't do. But it's just all about how you do it, when you do it, and the representation of yourself, because you're representing your house, of course, but you're also representing yourself and what you should hold yourself to some type of accountability for. So do what you do. You know, party, have fun. We're all going to do it. You know, sometimes drinks get too heavy, sometimes coke gets too heavy, sometimes weed gets too heavy. But if you do it in discretion and in moderation, it's your choice. You're an adult. But it shouldn't be over Facebook. You shouldn't have plates and putting bumps up your nose, bitch, on videos. You shouldn't do that. It could be classless. That's just how I look at it.
So do you think that maybe, because I've heard this so many times, being a promoter, you know, are you selling alcohol at your ball, things of that sort, do you feel that maybe some houses should take control of the children or, you know, the particular members of that house and say, listen, you know, wait till after the event, wait till after your category, or, you know, so forth and so on before you intoxicate yourself? Do you think that maybe that should take a little bit more control of things? Or, you know, do a lot of people have the mentality, which I know they do, that say, child, I can't even go to a ball and enjoy the ball unless I'm drunk or I'm high. What is your opinion on that? I'm gonna start with Trigger. What is your opinion on that?
Basically, like I said, you know, we're all adults, so we're going to do our, we all have our drug of choice.
Uh-huh.
I only say bring it to your child's attention if it's become a problem and they're showing. If your child is belligerent and screaming and yelling, and then that's when you step in. You know, if they have history, like, okay, you know, if Timmy, you know, starts drinking, you know where he's going to go because of what he did prior. You know, it's all according to your history. But if you're one of those people who, you know, you do your little drugs, you come to the ball, you have your good time, then, you know, hey, it's your red wagon. You can pull it however you want to pull it, as long as it just don't interfere with the program.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if you can hold it, do it. If you can't, don't. And that's when the leaders will step in. But, you know, what if it's the leaders? Then who's going to tap them on the shoulder and say, chill? Is it going to be other icons and legends from other houses? You know, so it is what it is. If you can't hold your liquor, don't do it. Yeah. Like, so who's going to control them?
Mook, what do you feel about that? Do you feel the same way?
You know what, I think you made a lot of valid points, you know, everything you said, but, yeah, because you really can't stop nobody from doing anything, and honestly, it's kind of a drive for a lot of people. A lot of people do have to be blowed to do their best, or, you know, I mean, some drugs give you certain energies,
some drugs, you know, make you, you know, certain type of ways, you know what I'm saying? Because I, for certain one thing, I'm not about to walk up on those stage with all these people standing around. I got to be a certain level, just like most celebrities. That's why they be getting mad. You got to be a certain level. But I think they do need to learn how to control it a little more. And like he said, the parents should know their kids. And if they do got kids, that they know that they're going to act a certain type of way once they get a certain thing or a drink or a drug or a pill or whatever it is, that they should kind of, you know, whisper in their ear, slow them down a little bit, and tell them we're going to do this for the after set, not right now. So, yeah, I really do agree with what he's saying.
Vonna, you agree with that as well?
I totally agree. Like I said, it just goes back to moderation and how you control yourself and the kind of standard that you hold yourself to. If you hold yourself to a certain standard and you do things the correct way, then things will come out the right way. You know, sometimes people do drugs because of nerves. They do drinking because of nerves or because, like, even me, I have a cocktail or two because I can't always deal with a whole room full of faggots all night, but I have something. So, you know, but I also know how to control it in moderation. I know if I'm getting too full, I leave. You know, I'm okay, girl, I got to go. You know, because I know it's what's getting ready to happen. But it's just about how you do things.
Okay, CJ?
Hello?
Yeah?
I'm sorry, I was just on the line.
Oh, here
of
you
course.
Go. I'm skipping you. J-Rock, what do you feel about the drag?
Personally, I'm kind of like with everyone else. I just think they should do it in moderation. I'm not no one to knock nothing that anybody do, but I am one to knock if what you're doing is bringing a bad name upon your house. Because you represent something that's more than just you. It's a team. It's a family. If your drugs is making you go all out of control and you're embarrassing your house, I don't think you need. Maybe you need to, or maybe the parents of that house need to get control of that situation. Or if you have a problem with it. But I don't know if that, I don't think that's going to stop, because somebody like me, the reason why I don't twist out when I do Vogue is because half of them be speed boots. And that's how they can hit them tricks. I be sober, so every time I turn a flip or hit my back by accident or hit my head, it's over. I'm not trying to get no trophy. I'm trying to get to the hospital. So, I mean, the drugs are going to be there, but they need to do it in moderation. What you do is what you do.
Okay. Jason?
What's the topic y'all talking about? Because I'm a social drinker, and I guess you would say a social smoker, it's what you do and I guess how you do it. When there have been times when I've listened to the show when girls have called in and their speech is so slurred, that all you just want to say is, oh, God, just mute them. And
or they're on an IV drip.
Right. And you feel for them. And then you look at yourself and you say, okay, well, and like J-Rock said, who am I to judge? But I know my limits. I know that after three drinks, I'm cocktail full, and I'm not going to make a fool out of myself. And I'm not going to allow you to make a fool out of me. So we know our limits. And when you don't know your limits or you have gone past your limits, somebody needs to sit you down and say, okay, you need to sit down, keep your ass still till you sober up, then you can do it again or whatever, or you're done for the night, take this child to the hotel. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with, because I actually think that it's against the law, is when you're actually on Facebook or your social networks and you're posting pictures with a blunt in your mouth, or you're posting pictures with plates of Coke on it, or you're posting pictures of girls doing Tina, and I don't even understand that, because I don't want to sound stereotypical, but I just can't even wrap my head around black people doing crystal meth.
Girl's scary.
But again, who am I to judge? I just think that, one, we are glorifying something that should not be glorified. And we're making it okay to these younger kids that, okay, it's okay to get high because look at me, I'm a leader, and I got it all on Facebook, and I got six blunts and a bowl of Coke and six bottles of Jack. I'm about to party like a rock star. It's okay to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. Because, one, you're not even old enough to buy half the stuff that you're using, so don't do this. And I know it's easy to say, do what I say, not as I do, but if I'm doing it and you see me doing it, you're going to want to try it anyway.
You know what? I have a question for everybody. And, Jason, I want to say thank you because you just brought it to my attention. Let me go to the next caller, and then I'm going to ask this question of everybody. Because everybody on here, this is nothing new to you guys. You guys have been in the game for a while. 717-802, you're on the air.
That's my second phone, Jasmine. That's me.
Oh, okay. You're going to be on this?
Yeah, I'm on this. I'm talking about the other one.
Okay. I have a question. You guys have been in the game for a while. Do you guys think that social media, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, even going back to MySpace, do you think that things started getting worse when we all started having access to those types of things?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because anyone from the older generation, me being, you know, mid-90s, you know, other people, you know, 80s and so forth and so on, we know that a lot of this stuff was already happening. People were sleeping around with each other. There was drugs being utilized. You know, we were dealing with, you know, health issues and things of that sort. There was a little bit of violence and, you know, well, there was violence and there was magic and there was all that stuff. But because now it is so publicized, and not only publicized, but like Jason said, people look at their leaders with six blunts and, you know, coke and all these bottles of alcohol that they feel like, oh, no, it's all right for me to do it now, because now they actually see instantly Instagram, instantly in a text, in a Facebook status, leaders, their parents, what their brothers and sisters are doing, and they feel that now I can keep up with it, or I need to keep up with it, or we have a competitive community, and they feel that, oh, I have to do the same thing as well. Do you feel that social media has really fucked up our generation, or not even fucked it up, but fucked up this generation, or not even fucked it up? Is this the reason why there are so many microwavable queens out there?
I say yes.
So, Jason, you agree?
I agree. I mean,
J Rock?
Yes, I do agree. I agree. I really agree with that.
DJ, do you agree?
Yep.
Mook?
Yeah, I most definitely agree.
Trigger?
Yeah, I agree.
And Chance, do you agree?
Yes, I agree.
And Vonna, of course.
Oh, definitely, I agree. Most definitely.
Wow. So, wow.
Wait, I blame Vonna for it all.
That's
her fault.
That's interesting.
You blame Vonna? Oh, my God.
you made me get my first Facebook page.
Oh.
Oh my God, stop lying on me.
Yeah, I blame Vonna for it 100%. Mooka, do you agree?
I agree.
Yeah, listen,
but you know what's so funny, Jasmine, what you're saying, that, you know, I look at a lot of stuff on YouTube and, like, on the thing, and I think, honestly, it caused a lot of problems. I think it's the reason for people walking around here feeling like they're not doing so much in the ballroom scene, because they're not doing all these clips up. And then they get people who want to follow them and try to learn from them, and they don't too much know everything on their own. I really think it has to do with a lot. I think the Facebook thing, it's so easy to connect here and connect there and do this. And it's too fast paced. It's moving too fast, and everybody moving too fast, where it takes time to get to a particular place in life. You can't just jump straight to this place. And with all the media, that's what is kind of making it, you know, people think they just jumping straight to this place. I have seen a person become a house father of a house, never been known, never ever walked the ball, but because he was on Facebook and had the gift of gab, he was now a house father. When they called us and asked who they was, none of us even knew who this person was.
Yeah, that's a bad, if you a bad bitch, you a name names.
Ooh.
Daddy, if you a bad bitch, you a name name.
Maya, you got to show up too. I mean, don't do that.
I don't know who Maya is. Y'all is trying it tonight.
Can we get a poem?
Sure, go look on Yahoo for it.
Yes.
This is J-Rock. I don't know who was that that just made that statement about the, about the YouTube and everything. But that's why I always come on and I always say and I let people know. Me, I have that gift for gab and all this stuff, but I always let everybody know I am still a virgin. I'm still starting. I'm still, so they'll know that because people that have the, I agree with him, people that have the gift of gab and know how to really network and stuff like that, you would think, oh, okay, they must know what they're doing and stuff, and they don't even know what they're doing. Like he said, they don't even know what they're doing. And you get all these blind leading the blind. Now, that's probably what social media is probably what's starting the problems in the ballroom. You got a bunch of people that don't know what they're doing thinking they do know what they're doing. And like one person said in London's Tea Party, that's the one you get these old fake legends and fake stars and statements and stuff going on. You,
right.
You're looking at LSS and you're like, oh, they must be a legend because they called them out. No, you're nothing. Nobody even made you. Nobody even, not made you. You ain't never even been out of your city, let alone your house. So, yeah, that's why I always let people know J-Rock is a virgin. So guess what, you know, because I got the gift of gab, a lot of people, they'll hit me up on my Facebook page and they be saying stuff like, hey, how do I join the house? How do I do this? How do I do that? I always tell them, baby, you know, just do your research. I ain't been in this a long time, but if I was like some of these late queens, they're saying, oh, yeah, baby, yeah, because I'm J-Rock Ebony and I'm, no. But I'm all about change, though, and making it a better scene, so.
Well, I don't want anyone to think that I'm against social media or anything like that because, of course, I love it. You know, my business has always been computers and everything, you know, technical. I'm always up with technology, so I love it. But I also know how to not allow it to control my life or make changes in my life, so I'm just using that as an example, especially what Jason said, you know, because that's one of the things that, you know, Vonna has said it a million times. This has always been happening. We have always, you know, and it's true. We have always, you know, seen this. It's been happening so much. The only reason why it's such a major issue now is because just like with what happened this weekend, you know, back in the day, we would have had to wait till Friday night when we was on the pier and the girls started talking about it, or at the next event we would have heard or things of that sort. But right now, I mean, as soon as it happens, we see it on a person's timeline 30 seconds later. So, you know, I don't know. It's just really weird. I don't know. It's just weird, you know, something to think about. The drugs, the violence, and even the sex. You know, we've talked about sex many times, and we don't have to continue with the whole sex topic itself, but they all play a major role in everything that's happening. You know, the girls get high, they have these sessions, they have these sex parties, you know, the, you know, groups and things of that sort. Everyone's out of control, the drugs, the alcohol, the sex, and it turns into violence, it turns into bickering and fighting because so-and-so slept with so-and-so's man, so-and-so stole this, so-and-so stole that. Now you have all this violence because half the time, yeah, the violence at the balls may be over a trophy, may be based on an argument over a category or stuff, but when it comes to these major, major fights, 9 out of 10, it's something really deep and real personal between a lot of people or between the individuals. And a lot of it can stem from anything, you know, money, you know, sex, drugs. It can stem from anything. I want to ask everyone, I'm going to take a private call, but then I'm going to come back with a question about the three topics, sex, drugs, and violence. Private caller, I don't know, why am I taking a private caller?
I said he a woman.
This is exactly why.
Private caller, why did you just do that? What are you going
with?
Oh,
Jesus. You know they don't mind carrying.
They don't mind. Do you guys think that sex drugs and violence? Whose phone is that? It sounds like somebody at a bar.
What is going on?
Yeah, that is not me.
Somebody at the club.
No, I'm at a tattoo party, so it's not a club. But I put my phone on mute if it's too much noise in the background.
No, we can hear you now. Do you guys feel that sex, drugs, and violence are what's killing our generation or this generation? I would start with Chance. Do you feel that that's killing the generation?
Can you rephrase that question?
Yeah, because I don't know how to take it.
Personally, I do, because I see my parents and my uncles and aunts, some of them who aren't even here anymore, due to drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. So, you know, it all has the same effect.
Mm-hmm. Trigger, do you feel that it's killing us? Do you feel that that's what's happening?
I don't know if that's what's really happening. I mean, people are killing people. I mean, you know.
Yeah, we gotta watch what we say on that one.
The choices that you make and the decisions that you make are the things that harm you. It's not necessarily drugs or sex or violence, because we choose to do them. So we have to blame the person, not necessarily the act, because you're not obligated to do drugs, you're not obligated to have sex, you're not obligated to go and shoot somebody. But so it's you. It's the decisions you make. It's the mentality you have. It's what's killing us. As what's killing the younger people off, or even some of the older people, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. Trigger, what do you feel about it? What do you feel about those three terms? Sex, drugs, and violence.
Well, you know, ultimately they all have, you know, we all can die from them if we do it. Like, if you have sex, if you do it unprotected, it's a chance that you're going to catch something that, you know, may take your life. With violence, you get into a fight and someone pull a gun, they shoot you, you know, you may have a chance, you're going to die. Drugs, if you take too much cocaine, you can overdose. So each one can kill if not done properly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's up to the person. You know, if you like to have sex, wear a condom. If you like to do drugs, don't do 3 8-balls and think you're going to live the next morning. If you get into a fight, you know, we all get into a fight, but, you know, if somebody get ready to pull out a gun, don't stand there and wait till they shoot you. You know, get the hell up out of there or try to avoid it. So it's really up to the person and how they handle themselves in each situation, really. And if they do it the wrong way, then, hey, consequences.
Gotcha. Mook, what is your feel about the three words?
I just, not being funny, I'm going to be honest, and I do agree with everybody on here. That's a valid point. So I agree with everybody, you know what I'm saying? I do believe that it is a reason, but, you know, it's a cause and effect to everything. I believe that people, you know, should do stuff differently. I also believe they should have a lot more morals. I believe that people should have a lot more pride about themselves, what we used to call it, coof. They have more coof about themselves or something like that. You know, I kind of thank God that I'm from an era where I had a chance to sit and learn, and the people took time out to teach you what was right and what was wrong and how to do certain things, where in this era, for these kids that's coming out, they don't have that.
But I thank God that I did come from a place where I did have that, where somebody told me, you know, that's not the way you do that, and don't do that, and don't sleep around, and don't do this, and if you do this, make sure you do this. You know, it's just kind of sad because, you know, we are here and we all can talk about it, but it's like, God, what can we do to, like, try to stop it? But, I mean, you could tell somebody something, I don't know, nobody listens. So, I mean, it just is what it is. We just got to pray for the best for everybody.
I just got something disturbing. I heard someone just sent over a message, or I just seen it in the chat room. I mean, I heard the girls are cutting their own chest open and stuffing plastic bags in a Walmart bag titty.
Walmart bag titty.
We not about to do that, gentlemen. We not about to even go down that road.
I had to, like,
what the hell is a Walmart bag?
Like, what's the difference between Walmart bag and a Kmart bag or a shopping bag? If you put a shopping bag in, you are a fool. You are stupid. You have no intelligence system, and you are a fucking clown. And you don't get whatever this does to you. You stupid bitch. It is not enough drugs in the world.
Okay.
It's not enough cocktail in the world, bitch, to make me bust my skin open and put a fucking shopping bag in me. You dumb ass bitch.
Gentlemen,
now you know overall mother fella is a fool, so who would you read this?
Gentlemen, I cannot believe that somebody would even say that.
Oh, God, Jesus, take
me. I can't even believe I read it. At first, I really was disturbed because the only thing I saw was somebody is actually, you know, sticking bags in their own chest. The Walmart thing threw me off.
Because what's the difference? What's the difference? Why are they just going to Walmart, putting Walmart bags in them? Like, they don't, no other bags work best but Walmart bags? Like, what the fuck is in here?
Oh,
bitch. Come on now. We know we're going to be, we are intelligent on this phone. We're not about to sit here and, like,
really
talk to
some
of
this.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
But hell, they do it fix the flat and everything else, so I wouldn't be surprised if they are.
Okay.
Well, oh, shit. That was too funny.
There's a minute left in the show, and then the phone lines are gonna shut. If you guys get disconnected, I want to say thank you so much. I think we already lost Chance, but thank you so much for Chance. Are you still there, Chance?
Going once, going twice.
Yeah, I think Chance is on. If you guys are on the phone line, stay on the phone. Otherwise, if you get disconnected, you will not be able to call back in. We still have Trigger, Mook, TJ, J-Rock, Jason, Vanna, and caller 718-304. Did you want to say anything?
Yes. I feel when it comes to the sex and drugs and all of that stuff, I feel if you have a will to live and you know that you have greater things to do in your life, you will stay away from the negativity. You will not allow yourself to do anything that will cause harm to your body. That means you will not intake any kind of drugs. You will not do having any raw sessions with anyone. So it all depends on the way you think about yourself, you know, because if you have low self-esteem, then you might tend to do some of those things. So I guess it depends on the kind of person you are, you know, and the kind of integrity that you have. So it all boils down to who you are, you know, your self-worth, you know, because if you care about yourself, you're not going to allow anybody or anyone or anything to hurt you or to harm yourself. So that's how I feel about that.
Okay. Mook, we lost Mook. Darn, Mook is gone. Again, if anybody on the panel gets disconnected, I want to say thank you in advance for calling in. And we still have Trigger, TJ, J-Rock, Jason, Vanna, and the caller that is always on the line. Trigger, tell us a little bit about some of the things that you witnessed down in your region when it comes to balls that kind of really turned you away from, you know, some of the things that, you know, that it's taking the fun out of it and turning you away from them?
Let me see. The only thing that I can really say is the panel. You know, a lot of, you know, some of the people on the panel are not qualified, and they some chop these kids, and then these kids get discouraged, and it's become to the point where nobody, not, I'm saying nobody, but like some of them don't even want to walk because they're afraid of being chopped. They're afraid of rejection because they feel like it's shade. But, you know, like I said, it doesn't necessarily turn me away because, you know, I'm a strong individual. So if I turn away from the scene, I turn away because I feel like I'm going to knock somebody out. And before I get to that point where I have to knock you out, I'm going to walk away because it's a hobby and I'm not going to take points away from my life over a hobby. This is, you know, this is not a job that's paying me. I'm not getting any raises. You know, I may win it. All I'm getting is trophy, and I'm getting cash that I'm probably going to spend the next day on a pair of shoes. So, you know, it's not necessarily pushing me away, but I'm going off with pushing other people away. As far as violence, there are fights, but I haven't seen no fights down here to the point where people are not coming out because of the fights. People are mostly saying they're not coming out and walking because of the shade on the panel, and they feel like some of the judges are not qualified to judge them, and they feel like I'm not going to sit up here and let somebody who I feel not qualified judge me. So that's the really major issue down here is panel choices, put it that way, panel choices, and people just don't want to deal with it no more, so they just rather stay home and get on Facebook and lay it out and call it a day. And that's the main problem in Florida is participation. But people don't participate because they don't trust the panel. And they feel the panel, all the panel is going to do is tear down their self-esteem that they try to build up. So, you know, that's really the main problem here. But pushing me away, it's not pushing me away, it's I choose to walk away before I remove myself from my element. I said, before I let anybody remove me from my element, I'm going to leave because at the end of the day, I still want to work in my professional, you know, I still want to be a professional and I still want to do this, and I don't want a hobby to deter me from that, so I'll walk away. But you won't push me away. That's one thing I won't let nobody do. I don't care how many times I walk and get chopped. I'm going to keep doing it until you see me, but I'm not going to let you push me away. Because I'm not weak. But, you know,
TJ?
You go to the next question real quick, Jasmine.
Why? You forgot what the question was?
No, I'm trying to run to grab my cell phone charger before I die.
Oh, okay. J-Rock, what are some of the things that you witnessed in your area, your region, that kind of turn you off about balls, turn you away, or make you even question it?
I guess what kind of had made me kind of stop for a minute and kind of have to rethink it and everything was, it's like I just didn't, like I said, I just didn't understand when people get so mad that they got chopped or so mad, like one caller had said, it's a competition. If you've ever played on a team or been in the sport or something like that, you win some, you lose some. And then
somebody did send me over a message and said that it's the money that really makes people crazy. That's why the ballroom scene has so many problems. Earlier, someone did say that, you know, ballroom is really people's lives. So when you put the two and two together, you know, these people are actually living this ballroom life. They're not using it as a hobby or an extracurricular. They're actually living it. And when it comes to the money, they utilize that money for, I guess, survival or their habits or anything. So is it not just really anymore a chop or, you know, for a trophy, just bring it back next time? Maybe these people are really depending on that money for whatever reason. Do you think that is why some of the violence is coming from or stemming from, you know, that?
I tell you like this, if you dependent on borrowing money to pay your bills or to get through life, you're going to have it very hard, very, very hard. That's worse than a $2 hoe, because you're not going to win every goddamn on category. And if you dependent on that, you got to realize that the realization is that you might not win.
Right.
If you don't win, then you're going to get mad. No. That's on the house mothers and the overseers and all that, too. If you got your kids going out there, knowing that your kids are in a situation, they out here doing this for their rent and to survive, or maybe, you know, it's money involved. And like they said, I love the balls when there is no money involved. Why? It seems like everybody just having fun. Everybody go out, they walk or whatever. Like the little mini balls that don't have money, it seems like everybody has so much fun. But when it's money involved, you have to have that realization, I'm going out here to win this money, but the fact is somebody might be more done than you, or somebody may win. It's a competition. So you can't. That all goes with, you know, that just goes with raising your kids in your house, just letting them know, hey, look, if they got that kind of problem, then I feel like that rests on the ballroom family right there. Don't let your kids go out here and make this their life, and they have to. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Jason, what is your feel? What turns you away?
What turned me away was the fact that when I looked at, when I came out, because I'm 6'4", and at the time I came out, there were like five other people that were my height, and they kept trying to put emphasis, oh, well, they're no tall femme queens, they're no tall, they're no tallest, and they kept trying to put emphasis on, well, I think you would look good in this, and trying to push you into doing something that I didn't want to do, or push me into doing something that wasn't comfortable for me. And that was the biggest thing for me right there, is that you're not going to make me do something that I don't want to do. And if I tell you I don't feel comfortable with that, you should, as an adult, as the adult figure, you should respect that and encourage me to find something that I do enjoy. Like when I was in school, I liked doing hair, but when hair started to become like a dorm girl's hair started to become a task, I stopped doing that because it was no longer fun to me. I did fashion shows and I did plays. When that started to become like a task to me and it was no longer fun, I stopped doing it. So anything that, when it gets to a point for me that it's no longer fun and I'm not getting fun out of it, I have to leave it alone until it becomes fun for me now again. And like right now, thinking about coming back into the ballroom scene or just being part of the ballroom scene is exciting for me, because now this is just, it's a hobby for me. It's an outlet. I'm not going to let this control me. It's not going to be my life. And that's what I don't understand, is how can you make something that you can't really depend on your life?
Yeah. Yeah.
And where is your mental stability that this is all you have? And I can understand that some people are passionate because this may be all they have, but if this is all you have, then baby, you need to get with somebody that has a little bit more so that they can bring you out of that, so that you can come back into reality, because eventually your reality is going to get you to the point where you are drugging and sexing and doing stuff because you can't cope.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Vanna?
We've been through this before. You know how I feel about this. If you're depending on a ball or grand prize to live your life, you're a fool. I'm not gonna mince words about it. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it or make it sound sweet. You're a fool, and you're never gonna have anything, because you have to want more out of life for yourself. Fuck what your house wants from you. Fuck what your parents want from you. You have to want more for yourself. So if you live in your life based upon, if I don't win this grand prize, what if you never win? Then how are you going to maintain and how are you going to live? Every night is not going to be your night, and for most girls, none of the nights are never their night.
Okay.
So what are you going to do? Like, are you going to sit there and just try to maintain and travel ball to ball to try to make something of yourself? Are you fucking serious?
Well, Lord, that's a bitch.
I agree.
It's just utterly crazy to me. It goes back again to self-worth. The ballroom scene is somewhere where we were supposed to come to have fun, somewhere we would come to have a safe haven to where we can kiki and laugh and chirp with our girlfriends and go back home to reality. This is not reality. You shouldn't be living in a ball. You shouldn't be living for a ball. You're supposed to have fun.
You know what? I want to do this. Go ahead, Vaughn. I want to say something. I want to let you say what you got to say, then I want to ask everybody a question. So go ahead.
Yeah, it's just supposed to be fun. I'm just so tired. You know, you're living for a grand prize. It's only a few balls that even give you enough money to even have something substantial. I mean, you know, you went in $250. What are you going to do with that? You can't even pay rent with that. Like, what are you going to do? You spent more than $250 to get to a ball. But I digress. Go ahead, Devin.
770-304, you're back on the air.
I am, because I'm listening and I'm thinking to myself, there used to be a time, though, where, and I know I've referenced this before, but, you know, these balls were, I mean, the houses were their families. And so I can see how at one point, you know, they would attend these balls and the excitement of being there, and that was something that they looked forward to. They did kind of give their all to that. It has changed a lot. You know, the competition is different. The houses are different. And so I don't know how someone could base their life off what it is now. 20 years ago, yeah, I could see how people, their everyday moment was about their house because that was their family. And their family did things together. They had picnics. They had meetings. They did all kinds of things that, you know, made them, it unified them. And so I understood why, you know, when it came time for these balls and their reputation in the ball was so important to them. It just seems like now it's become different, that, you know, the whole structure of the people attending, the members, people who are walking and participating, it's all very different. You know, the whole atmosphere is different. So you go into it where now if you're attending the ball, they want you dressing in a certain kind of couture. Before, it wasn't like that. You could come any kind of way and just have a good time. And now the whole structure of that ball is boiled down to everything about the people who are attending. You know, it's no longer the same kind of structure. So, I don't know, it baffles me when I hear people say, well, you shouldn't be living, that shouldn't be your life. Sometimes all people have to hold on to. You know, I think that if the right people are involved, you instruct them. You give them tools to kind of move forward. You know, everyone's not going to have the same tenacity that others have about getting their lives together. Sometimes this is their life for right now because this is all they know. These are the first people that ever embraced them, the first people who ever gave them words of encouragement or let them know that they can be something. And so they hold on to that. I'm not sure how many of you ever know what this feels like to have your name chanted or have people calling your name out. That's a good feeling, you know. And
yeah.
Sometimes people long for that because that's all that they have to hold on to. You know, I heard someone say it was their birthday. I think it's a military guy. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I'm so proud of our military men. And most importantly, I'm proud of someone that is public about who he is and yet able to serve our country. I think that's remarkable. And my hat's off to you, and thank you for serving our country. I really and truly appreciate that. But, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, we can't knock the ball scene for what it does because it's given a lot of people hope. It has. You know, it's inspired a lot of people, and it will continue to keep inspiring people. You know, some of these people would never have names or never be known if it wasn't for the ball scene, ever. You know, they would have no place on society. Some people have made names for themselves, become choreographers. I mean, I'm not sure if any of you know Derek LeBeige. He's deceased now, but he was a wonderful photographer. He did a lot of great things with his life due to this ball scene. You know, so
yeah.
I don't know. I just think that I can't knock it because I've seen a lot of good come out of it, and I can see how your life can become about the ball scene because of the things that it does offer. All the things that get to it, I mean, and drugs and alcohol have been around forever. You know, people have been sleeping around forever. That hasn't changed. That has nothing to do with the ball scene. That's just what people do. We're habits of creature, you know, and we do those kind of things. Should it be controlled? Of course. Will it? No, you know, because people are going to do what they want to do. And I think when you get a little buzz or whatever it is they're doing, it increases the alter ego in them to go on to become the other person you need to be to perform or whatever it is they're doing. You know, but I don't think drugs or alcohol have anything to do with the violence of bossing. I think it's that passion about being disrespected, someone not seeing them. And, you know, it's a big thing to be called out for something and somebody not recognize your efforts, whether you're good or not. Instead of someone saying, okay, you've been chopped this time, but let me show you what you can do to improve it, you know, we kind of make mockery over them being chopped instead of trying to encourage them to improve their craft. You know, and there's no self-improvement. You know, it used to be a time where families did that. They just, the house families would encourage you, even get you to practice, you know, to get your craft together. But I don't see them doing that anymore.
Thank you, caller. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to start off with you. I have a question for, you know, for everyone that's on the panel. What are some of the things, you know, that allow you to not be so consumed within the ballroom scene? What are some of the things that you have done to take your weight out of the ballroom, not be as consumed as the majority of these people? And what are some of your day-to-day activities besides regular work and scuba? What are some of the things that you utilize your time with instead of always on YouTube, watching a clip, listen to Voguing Beats constantly all day, every day, and always talking about balls? What are some of the things that you do, caller?
Well, you know, I also teach a class every Wednesday night for parents who are illiterate, teaching them how to read and write. You know, I've been in the educational system now for about 15 years, you know, and I work with the bilinguals. I'm Jamaican descent, so there are a lot of people coming to America who are trying to get citizenship and need to learn our basic English language, and so I teach that. You know, I don't attend the balls the way I used to because of my job is a little more demanding than it was in the past. But, you know, I think one of the things that I don't see that I wanted to mention before is that there's no community involvement. In New York back in, like, the early 90s, they used to go out and feed the homeless. They used to go to the homeless shelters. They used to do so many different things that kind of kept their awareness. And it just seems like now, you know, there's not enough community involvement. You know, I would love to see some of these houses, you know, go out to some of these Feed the Hungry programs and donate their services and donate their time, because there has to be an outside world, you know, and there are other ways to unify you, that you just don't have to be unified on a Saturday night. You can be out doing other positive things as a family and be recognized as a family, so that people won't compare you, like the gentleman did earlier, to gangs, because there are other things in our own community that we could be a part of that we don't take part in. You know, that life is so much more than just that 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. or that 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. There's so much more outside of that. But we have to stop being into the eyes. You know, you have to be willing to help your brother and help your sister. I definitely don't see people doing that. You know, we help our friends, but what's wrong with you helping someone else who's in need? You know, there's so many things that we could be doing positive in our own communities that we're not doing. There's so many transgender men and women who are homeless that, you know, things need to be done about that. But we don't get involved in the right things. You know, but we'll take our $30 and $40 and attend a ball, but we won't, you know, we won't try to sponsor a food drive to help feed the same community that once, you know, that these same people once attended our functions are now homeless. They have a place to go, but we don't have things to give back to them. You know, so I try to do community involvement. I do teach a class to help the bilingual and, you know, the foreigners who come to our country who are trying to get citizenship, to take me away from that, because I realize that as much as I love the ball scene, I do know that there's another world out there, that there are people who are looking for a place to belong to. They only wish they could belong to something like this. You know, that this ball scene has a lot of great things to it, a lot of positive, as well as the negatives, but there are a lot of positive, great things about it. I just wish they utilized it.
Okay. Well, thank you again, caller, for calling in. Vonna, what are some of the things that you do to take your time away from constantly being involved with the ballroom scene?
Regular life. I have a husband. I have kids that I'm active in their life. You know what I'm saying? I try to, you know, we do everything together. It's not, to me, it's not about a ball. It's not about a party. It's about just regular life. I read books. I do everything to keep me, when on Saturday night or Sunday night when I go to a ball, I'm on, my game face is on, and that's that. But once it's time for me to go home, you know what I'm saying, my life kicks in. I go to work. I'm on my way back to school. You know, I do things to keep me focused, to stay, so it won't just be personally my life. I deal with my own transition. You know what I'm saying? Because transition never stops. You know what I'm saying? So my focus is on me. You know, and that's why I stayed away from the ballroom scene for a while, to focus on myself and the things that's going to better me. You know, my own real family. Everything keeps me away from letting that life dredge me in and making it a part of my life every day.
Gotcha. Jason, what are some of the things that you do?
Monday through Friday, I work for a nonprofit agency that deals with men and women coming home from prison, helping them to transition back into society, finding employment, finding home, finding housing, finding medical benefits, drug treatment programs. Outside of that, I'm working with, because there are a lot of homeless youth, gay youth, that need someplace to go. So I'm in the process of trying to find a transitional home for those, for you gay youth that need some place to go to get off the street. I do HIV counseling. I spend a lot of time with my family, because I don't really deal with a lot of people. So I'm really family oriented. So other than that, then I have my outlets. I read. I play video games. Just basic stuff. So getting back into the ballroom for me is going to be an outlet to help those that don't have some place to go, so that they're not sleeping on somebody's floor, so that they actually can go back to school, so that they can be in their own home, and then they can give back to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. J-Rock, some of the things that you do to utilize your time.
Well, I mean, that was one of the reasons I got into the ball thing, too, because I've seen that there, I have a thing for youth, for, you know, like the ages 13 to 18 and everything, and, you know, trying to make sure you set yourself up for the future and everything. I've always had a thing with that. So I feel a lot of young people that's in the ballroom scene, and one thing that I like to do with our house is, if you say that you want to be a part of our house, that's like a lot of people are laughing, but it's really is true. If you're coming through me, and, like, I'm the secretary for our chapter, if you're coming through me, I want to at least be that one and say, hey, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing outside of the ballroom? Like, are you going to school? Are you trying to get a job? Did you finish school? Are you having problems at school? What's your worst subject? Do you need a tutor? Some of us are good at math. Some are good at English. Some are good. What are you going to do to set yourself up for success, to where you don't have to depend on nobody? And, you know, like I said, if you just don't want to do it, I don't waste my time with you. But if I see that you want to do, even like the girls that like to do makeup, I had one girl say, well, my goal is to become a professional makeup artist, because I do pageants and everything, and I always do everybody's face. So I am the kind of person that's going to go out and say, well, did you know how to get on at Mac, or get on at Sephora, or get on? At least you're doing something. I like to motivate young people to be better citizens versus just being on the ball scene. Okay, what's your goals on the ballroom scene? But also, what is your goals to live your life as a stable person? And if I can do anything to help, then I feel good. Like I said, if I can get one, then I'm fine. I know we can't save everybody, but I do have a thing for the youth and their, you know, what they're doing, you know, to stay stable in the society. So,
okay. TJ, what do you do to, you know, utilize your time where you're, you know, not always involved with ballroom?
Well, everyone keeps saying that they shut ballroom off at certain times and do this and that, but just to be honest, Monday through Friday, I'm Torrance. But true and true and all, Monday through Friday, at certain times TJ will kick in. At certain times you do have to do things. You will step in to do things during the week for the house. So if the house is going to always be there in some form, some way, some fashion. It might not just be full on like it is Saturdays and Sundays when you're at a ball. But during the main part of real life, work, anything else I do, if I want to just chill with the fam or whatever it is, I'm doing that. But come Friday, Saturday, Sunday, when it's time to go back to me and TJ Mizrahi, then that's when that comes in. But during Monday through Friday, normal week time, I'm just regular old me out in the streets doing me at work or whatever I choose to do, watching my Vista or whatever.
Watching your what?
Huh?
Did you say watching your Vista?
What'd you say, Jasmine?
You heard what I said. See, that's you still being, you know what, let me stop. I should have expected that from, okay. Trigger, what do you do? I can't believe him. Trigger, what do you do in your spare time that's not based on ballroom, where you're not listening to beats or, you know, watching YouTube clips or watching a whole bunch of gay porn? What do you do in your spare time?
It doesn't always have to be gay porn.
Child, I know what this is, honey. Go ahead.
It has straight porn, too. I was just watching Kiki earlier today. Oops.
Trigger.
Yeah, I'm here. Basically, you know, I try to balance everything, you know. Besides being a full-time student trying to graduate and working, I like going to pageants. You know, I like watching pageants. I like, you know, going to workshops dealing with HIV, especially here on South Beach. You know, they have workshops once a month. I go there. I like to travel. It's just with me, it's all about balancing. You know, when I entered the ballroom scene, I entered it as a hobby, which means I have more than one. I have more than one hobby. And, you know, because because the ballroom scene is just not on the weekend. Sometimes balls are on Wednesdays or on Thursdays. I just make sure I handle my priorities first before I start dibbling-dabbling in my hobbies. You know, if I go to a ball on a weekday and I know I have to be to work the next morning, I make sure I do all my schoolwork and I get off work, I rest. Then I get up around 1, go to the ball, and if I need to work at 8 in the morning, I have to leave from the ball and go straight to work. It's just me handling my priorities and making time for everything. People can do whatever they want as long as they balance it. I'm not going to be listening to beats all day. That's aggravating. I'm not going to get on the plane and go to every hot ball. It's just not feasible for me right now. And even if it was, mm-hmm. It's just no. A ballroom scene would not be my morning and night. It's a balance. Mm. I can't do mm-hmm. too much. It's like me trying to go to every pride. I'm not going to do that. I choose the one or two prides that I feel like I want to be a part of. I plan for it and I go. If we balance our lives and our priorities, we can do everything. But putting too much focus on one, especially putting focus on something that is not going to benefit for you financially or something, no, I'm not going to put that much time into it. I'm not, because I don't want to become one of those homeless people who are on the street, you know, because, you know, I tried to make it to every ball and, you know, I'm giving all these $40 for here and $40. If I don't have no job, I ain't going to no ball. I'm not going to scrape up $40 to go to a ball. I'm going to scrape up $40 to eat for the next week. It's just all about balancing your priorities. If you do that, you should be okay.
Now, I want to ask you a question, Trigger, but before I go ask you that question, someone brought up that the ballroom scene needs to start giving back all that money and stop fighting over it. We are killing each other over it, and give back to our community. Maybe promoters should take a certain portion of their money and give it back to the community somehow, some way. I do agree with that.
Promoter, I'm going to say this. From the money that when people throw a ball, a lot of people think you really walk away with a lot of money.
Right.
Truthfully honest with y'all, you really don't. at the end of the night and after you finish with all your payouts and every single thing you got to do, because everyone thinks you just got to pay cash prizes, venue, commentator. There's a whole lot you have to pay for. And after you finish with all that payouts and everything, you'll be lucky if your ass walk off the door with $500. And, Lord, please don't let there be damage to the venue, because you got to pay for all of that after the fact of the next day, or when they open up and really can access through everything. So every time a fight happens and a chair is broke or a wall get busted or they break the bathroom or something like that, the promoter is the person who's held liable and comes out the ass paying more. So everyone's always telling the promoters need to give back and do this. Y'all need to take an accountability that at the end of the night, the person who threw this ball really just threw this ball. Well, I can't say that. Some people throw the ball just for the fun of it. Some people hope to make a profit, and they ask to be mad when they don't. That's why they get their ball shut down.
Trey, I want to ask you a question. You said that you're into the pageants. You watch pageants a lot and stuff. And I know in Florida, especially Southern Florida, a lot of the strong pageant girls originate from down there. So I want you to compare, you know, not even compare, but tell us some of the issues that you see in comparison with the ballroom scene that are happening in the pageant world as well. You can even start off from the top, from the promoters that are giving out these Mr. and Mrs. to the judges panel that are judging the participants, to the disrespect from the participants when it comes to judging and the promoting, to the support groups that are in there, because the pageants have house families as well. You know, what are some of the things that you witness comparing to the ballroom scene?
Well, you know what? Basically, they're really the same thing, because
yes,
you do have some promoters who throw pageants, who offer $1,000 to the winner, and then when it gets down to the winner being crowned, they don't have no money, they don't do this, and it causes a problem. Then you have the judges panel. You have the judges panel, once you get your score sheet, if you get first, second, or third, or somebody beat you, and you see, well, why was points taken off of here, and blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
Then they're waiting outside for the judges to explain, like, why did you dock me for wearing red when it was red? It was just raspberry red. And then you have people who bring that violent mentality. So, it's you know, they come to the ball, and if their girlfriend don't win, oh, that's mace the whole. I have seen it. I have been in it.
Yeah.
I've seen people mace the building when their girlfriend didn't win, or they feel like, oh, you, or even contestants who didn't win, they go in the bag and let's mace the building, and oh, that's, get everybody in here. I done seen pageants get shut down before just because a big fight broke out. But, you know, I know some pageant promoters who, you know, after a fight broke out, they kick everybody out. But they let the contestants stay and let the contestants go ahead and compete, you know, finish competing, and they went ahead and gave away their money. But at the end of the day, she was prepared. She had her money prior. You know, some of these, you know, it's just like some of these ballroom people. You're offering this amount of money because you're banking your money off your door, and sometimes that backfires, because what if only 20 people come to your function, but yet those 20 people walk all 20 of your categories that you're offering cash for, and now they're gonna get stuck because you depended on money. So the pageantry and ballroom scene is the same thing. If anything, you would spend the same type of people who do magic for balls, they do magic for pageants to try to get
sometimes
their sports
a lot
wear.
More.
I don't see people go to jail for $20,000 trying to win, spending $20,000 trying to win a pageant.
Yeah.
It's just, it's just their mentality. And you know, some people do depend on pageants to pay their bills. And, you know, it works. I think about it, it works for 25% of them. The other 75, it don't. And then, you know, you start doing your magic, and then you created a lifestyle for yourself that you now have to live up to every time you go to these pageants. Every time.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up getting you in trouble. But, yeah, it's the same thing, you know, fights, money problems. promoters not doing what they're supposed to do.
Politics.
So it's really the same thing. It's very political. Some pageants calm people and be like, oh, come on and run for a pageant. You're going to win.
Stop with a crown on your head, yep.
If you're the promoter and you have the last say-so and you see the judges sheet, you are going to pick. That you can pick that person, and some pageantry systems do that. It's just like it's politics. They feel like, you know, sometimes they want you to run 3 years before they give you the crown. You know, they want you to put your time in. So, you know, it's really just like the ballroom thing. They might as well collide. Yeah, might as well, because the same thing.
That's true.
Vonna, it sounds like you know a lot about that. Everything
that he said. You know, I am one of my best friends is a major national title holder, and so I'm really into. And she owns a few pageants herself, so I know I've been in the inner workings of that as well. And the politics are really heavy. The shade is thick. You know, you have a pageant like Continental. You know, I know the promoter of Continental. He is certain girls that would never get a crown in Atlanta. It's certain girls that would never get a crown in New York. And he feels nothing about it, and the girls still compete and give $20,000 and $30,000 to compete in his pageant. And he still will never put a crown on their head. So it's extremely political. The judges are very handpicked. You know, when people in ballroom complain about the same judges, you know, at every single ball. At Continental, it's the same set of judges at every single Continental. I mean, and you can't tell Jim Flint who he's going to put on his panel. It's his venue. He does what he wants to do, and he doesn't care how anybody feels about it, and he's going to do what he wants to do. And when he want, and when he see that token girl that he likes and that he wants to deal with for a year, he puts a crown on her head, and she goes. You know what I'm saying? So, that's just how it is. The pageant and the ballroom thing is very hand-in-hand. Now, it is some things about the pageants, about the balls that the promoters of the pageants don't like. So, you have girls like, you know, Mother Balenciaga, Raquel. You know, Jim Flint doesn't like the fact that she is in the ballroom scene. So, he would never put a crown on her head. I don't care how many times the Balenciagas or anybody sends her to Continental, she'll never get a crown. You know what I'm saying? So, that's just how it goes. It's political, it's shade, but the money to be made there is a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? You can live a lifestyle off a pageant longer than you can a ball, because you always can. You always got a show to go to. You can be on show 7 nights a week all over the country. You're gonna always make your cash. But so that's what makes it a little bit different, because you can live off of it. I know a girl who claims taxes just off show and pageant money. You know what I'm saying? She lives a fab life. So it's a lot of the same. A lot of the same girls intertwine out of the pageants and into the balls and vice versa. You know what I'm saying? So it's the exact same thing.
Well, Lord Nipple Bitch.
I got lost for a little bit. I'm
I guess somebody's Facebook is going off.
Yeah, Facebook is going off, but I think there's a lot of stuff going on in that London tea room. And I know three people, that are in that room, that are on the show, but yet they're in that room.
No comment.
White cum cow, whatever all that means.
Just listening.
Where's London, honey? Let London call in and tell us what London feels about the show.
London,
call in. I want to talk to London really quickly.
But they can't get through. It's after 2 o'clock.
Oh.
Well, put her on your phone, TJ.
TJ, put her on the phone.
I don't know how to get in touch with London. I don't know who London is.
Oh, my God. You don't know how to call London? You're the end all to be all. You're TJ, for crying out loud.
Well, get Maya to call London.
I mean, Maya's on the phone already.
London Facebook me. wow. You know
what? Maya even got a Facebook page now. Maya got a Facebook page. And her and TJ are very good girlfriends on Facebook.
Yes, they are.
The modern technology of having a Google Chrome and an Internet Explorer at the same time.
I don't use Internet Explorer. Internet Explorer can be hacked.
I mean, you know, but, you know, maybe Maya doesn't know because she's an older girl.
Well, I don't know what Maya knows. I'm not Maya. I can't speak for her.
I'm sure you can't.
Oh, y'all really trying it now. Y'all really trying it.
I think
I'm going to keep this to myself, but, child, y'all. All right, switchboard.
Hello. You know, I don't usually come on. You know, I don't usually cut my intro.
London.
Hello, all.
What's poppin', London?
London, there's a lot going on in your room, and your room is distracting the people that are a part of our panel tonight.
Oh, really? My room is discreet.
Your room is what?
It's discreet. I don't think it should be discussed among, you know, people without, you know, my...
Well, there's only three people on the panel right now who are part of the group, and two of them are kind of confused and distracted right now, but, of course, TJ is never distracted.
Okay, so
and
I have the fastest and easiest way to, like, eliminate the problem. You know, just exclude yourself from the situation, and, you know, everyone will have a brighter day.
Hello. Oh, she told y'all.
Okay, I'm closing it out.
London, listen, did you hear the show? Evidently, you did hear the show because your multiple numbers popped up out of nowhere. What do you think about the gunshots? I think you talked about it on your show last night. What do you think about the gunshots from the video this weekend?
Basically, you know, I hear them all the time, so it was normal.
London, I just got an inbox, and I'm supposed to say something to you. Just to keep somebody happy. White cunt Kyle. Now, don't ever ask me to say it again.
I won't. Yeah, but I didn't really care as long as no one got, you know, shot. But.
Okay. London, do
you
do drugs?
What kind of
question? Speaking of intro, where's my intro, Jasmine?
We're talking about drugs as well. Do you do drugs?
I do, lightly.
Okay. Do you feel that
I'm not, like, you know, like strung out?
Okay. And do you have a message for any of the drug users out there that are constantly threatening you and, you know, attacking you and things of that sort?
Just slow down with the drugs, you know, not too much at one time. It can make you go insane.
And she thanks you.
And I thank you.
And London, did you know that TJ, everyone is saying TJ is your girlfriend Maya? What do you feel about that?
Oh, of course she, I mean.
London. London know who Maya really is. I am not Maya.
I mean, that's not Maya Angelou.
Right.
But I can't understand why she's asking for an intro, but that's not Maya Angelou.
Why who's asking? Oh, boy. Well, London, I want to say thank you for calling in or just listening to the show. I really appreciate it.
And I thank you, and I love you all.
Now back to the cellar, damn it.
Okay, my own loader. Everyone have a nice bloody night.
Thank you,
Maya. It was nice seeing you in North Carolina, too.
Oh, thank you.
Next time, can you bring me a pair of them shoes, too, that you had on?
Did I look like the rest of the drugs? I didn't think so, and I thank you. Have a nice night.
Bless you.
TJ, I was told that, you know, a lot of the drags looked very particular at that ball in, you know, North Carolina. What is your opinion on that?
Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
Wow.
Lord,
J-Rock got disconnected.
Yeah, J-Rock got disconnected. He wanted to say goodnight, and thanks for all the birthday wishes. Make love, not war. Well, make love and not Victor videos. TJ.
Ain't nothing wrong with my Victor.
Mm-hmm.
At least we ain't got to worry about killing
y'all. We're going to be wrapping it up shortly. If you guys are on the phone line and want to make any closing statements, please press 1. We still have a good amount of callers, but thank you guys for all tuning in tonight. And also, the chat room is shut down. If you guys are listening from a computer or archiving the show, thank you for tuning in tonight and listening. I really appreciate it. We have about 4 more episodes before we go on our summer break. So if you guys have any topics that you guys want to touch up on before the final episode, which will be the week of Memorial Day or the Memorial Day weekend or the weekend after.
Desmond, I'm about to call J-Rock and put him back on. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Okay. Basically, let me know. Contact me, so inbox me on Facebook on any last topics you might want to talk about. But I am taking a break. I need a break. And also, I know Kelly will be taking a break. We will be tuning in on Monday for the Monday night recap for any calls that did take place that weekend. Otherwise, the show will not be on that week. But there won't be no show on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. And then,
how about London and Maya on Tuesday?
No, London and Maya will not be on Tuesdays as well. You should know that already. Did they talk to you about that?
No. Y'all is trying it tonight. y'all gonna have people really thinking I'm Maya Angelou. I did not sleep with nobody's man or anything in North Carolina.
Another thing I want to say really quickly, because I hear all the messages, I see the messages, I hear the complaints and stuff. I really wish people would not get mad at the messenger, even though, you know, that's how it is. But you guys have to understand, just like I sit here on Facebook and the chat room and so forth and so on, people have a tendency of sending over the messages about things that did take place the weekend or what's happening currently and stuff. And the radio personalities are going to read those messages because that's what their job is, they're journalists. Stop getting mad and threatening and wanting to attack these individuals. Number one, either stop doing what you're doing. Whatever you're doing, stop making it so publicly known. And when it's publicly known, then expect to have the repercussions to happen. I don't see none of y'all contacting Facebook and all the rest of them trying to shut them down when pictures are popping up about y'all there. So stop trying to shut this down and attacking everybody. Because that to me is just so stupid. If you're getting mad, get mad at yourself for the things that you're doing. And if you're not a part of the scandal or whatever and your name popped up, then don't worry about it. They're talking about you. They're making you relevant. So be glad that they are bringing you in. I think we're going to wrap it up now. Trigger, I want to say thank you for tuning in tonight and being a part of the show. did you want to make any closing statements to anyone, or, you know, address any final issues before we close up?
Oh, nah, that was it. I enjoyed myself.
You girls are really cute over there in that damn chat room. Okay, well, Trigger, thank you so much for being a part of the show, and please hit me up again if you want to be a part of, you know, next week or any following week episode. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
PJ, any closing statements?
Go to someone else. Oh, what'd you say, Mana?
You a woman.
Oh. That's why your titties came from Walmart.
Right. Yes.
Nah.
Girl, they must be talking about you, bitch. Girl, you love a Walmart, bitch, so you might just put the bags up from under the sink, girl, and throw them on in, girl. You want to suck that tray, you be talking to.
Your titties came from Walmart. It wasn't feeling gross.
I bet you that being a new one all week.
Walmart. Oh, yes, ma'am. You know that, bitch.
Walmart titties.
Bitch.
Thank you, overall mother fella. You did it again. TJ, any closing statements?
Remember, whatever alleyway, back corner, wherever you're going,
guys.
Yes, ma'am.
Y'all gonna get her to call in. Y'all gonna get her to call in.
You sure?
The life you save can be your own. And also remember, phenomenally phenomenal woman. But Maya, in your instance, phenomenally phenomenal man.
What?
Oh, my God.
You're a bitch.
You're so cool. Thank you, TJ. Jason, do you have J-Rock on your phone?
Yeah.
J-Rock, did you want to make any closing statements, birthday boy?
Yes, I just want to tell everybody I enjoyed them tonight, and I had fun in London's chat room. And I just want to thank everybody for their birthday wishes, and to tell TJ to never use whatever phone he was using tonight. Because clearly, he's whoever he said he's not.
Oh, wow. I know, right? And if he spoke, then he got clocked right away. Thank you, J-Rob. Jason, any closing statements?
Desmond, I am just so grateful for what you're doing for the community, what you're doing for us. I really love this. I really enjoy the fact that I'm a part of this. TJ, just hang it up. That's about it.
Okay, TJ wants to come back on. What, TJ? What?
Y'all is not going to try it, okay? I am not my answer. Get my own thing. Let's be on here at the same time. It seems like y'all can never get
line. Pound flat.
But you know what, TJ, next week during London and Maya's show, make sure you call in and speak with her.
Yes, yeah, we got to do that. And Vonna, we're not going to go with the flat line. Same flat line. Big feet. Flatline.
We
not go flatline.
Y'all are so silly. Okay, TJ, thank you. And Jason, thank you also for the kind words. I appreciate you being a part of the show, and I do this for everybody. And I hope at least one or two people is helping you guys. And that's the reason why I do it. But thank you so much, Jason, as well. Vonna, it's just me and you. I want to say thank you to you always as well for being a part of the show. Any closing statements?
Just live choices and decisions. You know, if you make the choices, stand by your decisions. And that's the only thing that we can do in this lifestyle. But, again, just to piggyback off what he said, the homage to you, Jasmine, is not always given. And you do a lot for the community, and I want to personally say thank you. We talk a lot on Facebook, and I tell you a lot, but I want to personally say thank you for what you're doing for us.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I really appreciate it.